This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Have at it, horse.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good. From Jisoo High, Pindawar, Mita Hiroto. Subtitle. Zip it.
Down it! Why? Say it! Say it!
Dad, I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
If I had a dick, this is where I'd tell you to suck it.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. I said good day.
You're listening to PlayStation Pop's Great Debate, a spirited discussion forum covering topics in the world of movies, music, television, sports, and pop culture. And now, here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another brand new show here on the PTBN Pop Feed. This is The Great Debate, number one. That's right, I am your host, Andy Atherton. And yes, you just heard me on Looking Forward, Looking Back, and you're like, what's going on? So basically, I've come to the guys at Place to Be. I have a few ideas. So in order to keep it fresh, not get stale and have the same, try to scramble, get a show every time, I'm going to have a few different shows and I'm going to rotate them. And tonight, I think I've got a great panel of some of Place to Be Nation's finest. So let's, without further ado, let's get them on here. First off, let me introduce our friend from up north. Over the border, he is the co-host of No Holds Barred, Mr. Aaron George. Aaron, thank you for joining me tonight.
So today, I walked by my neighbor's house, and he's just digging this hole, this giant hole. Mm-hmm. And I said, excuse me, what do you think you're doing? Which probably wasn't the right way to approach it. And he said, I'm digging a fucking hole.
Okay, that I thought Canadians were polite, but okay.
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. All right. Aaron, thanks for joining me. Next up, we got he's the co-host of GameStruck and many other shows you've heard him on. Originally one of the core four on the main Place to Be feed's main event, Mr. Jordan Duncan. Jordan, thank you for joining us.
Whew, I didn't think I was going to be able to make it today. I've been digging a hole all day. My neighbor starts asking me what I'm doing like some chump. It's crazy.
Wow. Much like in Batman vs. Superman, where we didn't know Gotham and Metropolis were right next to each other,
right.
Detroit and Canada, you know, right next. You can like actually like spin on each other.
Mm-hmm. My mom's name is Martha.
Mine too!
Oh, my gosh!
All right, we got our geek cred going already. Speaking of geek cred, he is one of the hosts on many shows, a co-host of Talkin' Pop, Marvel Age Podcast, and Survey Says. Mr. Tim Capel. Tim, how are you?
I am quite well. Thank you for having me, Andy. I had a less confrontational day. I've just been hanging back here eating a mustard sandwich. So we'll see what the night brings.
God.
Could you be a little more specific? Because that's really... Is it Dijon? Is it Grey Poupon? Or we got, classic...
Honey mustard?
Yeah.
Yes, all of the yellow. Above.
So a cornucopia of mustard.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You know, and that little voice that you heard chiming in before he was introduced, you know, rookie. And he's the only one I can say it to in this whole crew. You've heard him on Jenny Smith's Freak Out Drive-In. Probably knows more about the Friday the 13th franchise than anybody I know. Mr. Jason Sherman. Jason, thank you for joining me.
And I enjoyed a mustardless sandwich earlier.
Oh, okay. Was it just bread?
No.
Was it from Wawa or Publix?
It was from Wawa.
Oh, okay. So let's just chat about what Great Debate is about before we really dive in. So basically, I have questions and I want answers, and that's why these guys are here. So we're going to separate the show. We're going to do some sports, pop culture sports in the first round, and then later on we'll just go straight pop culture, and then I'm going to hit these guys with some rapid-fire questions to end the show. And one thing about this show that I'm really hoping for once it gets going is that I want this to be an interactive show. So not just like the gentlemen or ladies I have on as guests on each episode, but I'm going to have a Facebook page started very soon. I'm going to post all the questions that we talk about here. And I want this conversation to continue and just have some fun. You know, this is, you know, not meant, you know, we're going to avoid, you know, certain topics. And we're just going to keep it fun and just, you know, have a good time. So without further ado, question number one. Let me call it up here. Okay, so we're going to talk a little football first. Should the NFL start rotating the home teams for the two earlier Thanksgiving games? Now, I tried to do some research, and I couldn't find a definitive answer on why we have to see Dallas and Detroit play home games every Thanksgiving. I mean, I know now we have a night game, but that's like 8 o'clock, and for anybody who's eaten the Thanksgiving dinner, you don't want to do anything at that hour. You're just basically on the couch, your fly's open, your buttons at, and you just like, you can't breathe. So I'm going to start with Jordan, because Jordan, you're from the greater Detroit area, correct?
Yes, the greatest Detroit area.
And are you a Lions fan?
Sadly, yes.
Sadly, well, hey, I'm sadly a Giants fan, so.
Right.
So what do you feel like, you know, is it, as being a fan, is it like a good thing or a, like a chore that your team plays every Thanksgiving?
No, I'm heavily on the side that it's a good thing. And the reason why, being a Lions fan my whole life, we have never sniffed any sort of championship. We've never sniffed any Super Bowl. We've never really had any modicum of success. This is like the only guarantee that Lions fans have that we will ever be in a national spotlight. So my first answer is yes, I think it should stay. I don't think they should switch it, at least for Detroit, because it's really all we've got as a fan base. Because we know that we're not going to make it to the Super Bowl. We know we're not going deep in the playoffs. Like, we're in week, what, 9, 10?
10,
right,
yeah.
Now. And I know our season's done already. So the Thanksgiving game is basically all we have to look forward to at this point as football fans. Dallas, you can move them. I don't give a crap about the Cowboys. Do whatever you want to those guys. But, yeah, for the Lions, it's a big deal around here. Like, it really is a big event in Detroit, the Thanksgiving Day game for the Lions.
Okay. So. I mean, my stance really is I'm not, you know, I'm a Giants fan, so I hate the Cowboys. But, you know, it's not like I don't want to see the Cowboys and Lions. It's like, you know, I just like to change up. I just want to see good football. When it's not the Giants, you know, that's really what you hope for. Because football is like one of the only sports where you can watch any two teams and, you know, really get invested, because there's minimal effort. I mean, you have to be a true fan. Like, you know, I'm a baseball hockey fan also. You know, I can watch most teams play. But, you know, football is that one thing because it's so national and it's so televised. It's not regional with the coverage that, you know, that's really what I'm going with. Jason, let's go over to you. What do you think?
I actually agree with Jordan 100%.
Oh, okay. Ooh, I love this guy.
I mean, seriously, you think about it. I mean, Lions, like you said, really don't have anything. And it's kind of sad. that's the case, and it's been that way for so long. So let them have their Thanksgiving. Same thing. I don't care about Dallas. I don't like Dallas. Dallas can do whatever the fuck Dallas wants to do, but let the Lions have it. And we have the night game to be wherever.
Right. All right, keep your voices down, and Scott might be able to hear me because he's not that far away. Anyway, all right, cool. Tim, I know you're not really a big sports fan, but is Thanksgiving football, is that a thing that you gravitate to? You watch, like, you know, sometimes that's maybe like a couple of games that besides Super Bowl you may watch?
Well, here's the thing, and I gave this some thought, actually. As you all know, I am an expert in this realm, so I have to really limit myself and my feelings on the matter. But growing up, you know, I'm in Central Virginia. We don't have a really home sports team, really of any kind, professionally. For the NFL, closest thing you get is the Redskins, which, I mean, talk about the Lions, but the Redskins, you know, they have sniffed success in the past. It's been a long time, though still within my lifetime. So you get a little sentimental. I will say that growing up, I was witness to a lot of Dallas-Washington Thanksgiving games, just throughout the years. And this year, I understand that we are going to see that again. That's who the Cowboys are going to be playing for the, I believe, third consecutive year. And, you know, the whole optics of Cowboys and Indians is a little bit, like, yeah. is that really what we want to be doing on Thanksgiving, you know? And I mean, it's one of those, yeah, it's a tradition, but should it be anymore? And I have no idea if changing this would reduce the likelihood of these two teams colliding on Thanksgiving. That may make a lot of people mad if it did, but I don't know. I'm kind of for mixing it up if we can get away from the somewhat dodgy image that projects.
Oh, all right, cool. So Aaron, Canada, do you guys watch the NFL a lot in your area?
Well, not on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's on a Monday here. Oh. And
is it during football season?
It's October, the first weekend of October. Is that okay? Football season?
Yeah.
We watch the Canadian Football League. the Canadian football team is a league that consists of 9 teams, and
they're all called the Rough Riders, period, right?
Two of them were called the Rough Riders for a period. Two of them. Look, football is a thing that people love. There is a huge fan base up here. But look, I'm gonna echo some statements and say not only do the Detroit Tigers need a win, the city of Detroit needs a win. All mm-hmm. right, that city. Ever since RoboCop, it's always made me feel terrified. And when the only NFL game I ever saw was in Detroit. And I was so baffled that there was nobody in the city on the weekend. Like, it was a ghost town. Look, let's face reality here. There's haves and have-nots, okay? And apparently the Cowboys and the Detroit Lions are the haves of Thanksgiving.
Speaking of Canada football, what are your feelings about – now, where are you in Canada exactly?
Montreal,
okay. How do you think an NFL franchise would do in Montreal or Toronto or any of other major city in Canada?
Well, I mean, expansion to Montreal is a really interesting thing, I think, for everyone, because you don't think about it, but Montreal is, if you take away the Mexican cities, it's in the top – I think it's the 7th biggest city in North America in terms of population, which you don't expect, right? So the population's there. But I think if they were going to expand, they should expand to Toronto.
Okay.
Because Toronto is like the 4th biggest city in North America, and everything that goes there is blowing up. Like the Raptors are huge, and they have been huge for a few years. I mean, I know they're big now because they're winning, but they have an MLS team, which is crazy. So I think if they were going to expand, Toronto would be the place.
Oh, okay.
It's closer, too, as well.
I know.
To what?
To Buffalo.
to Detroit. It's closer to me, Aaron.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I actually I saw that Montreal is pushing for an NBA expansion team. Hmm. So that should be interesting. I'm not a huge basketball fan. I mean, I watch it. I mean, I actually – this is the one time I know I'm talking a lot about it. I'm like Chris Cola-like as a kid. Because we're a year apart. I mean, I grew up watching, Showtime, so I gravitated towards the Lakers.
60?
I'm 60. Oh, no, I'm 61.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
A year apart.
Yeah, I'm actually a year older than Scott, although I look like 10 years younger. Anyway, moving on.
You know, actually, Andy, let me add one last
Okay, point go ahead, Jordan.
For Detroit. Another reason, too, is, it's Thanksgiving. You know, you even mentioned by the nighttime game, we're sitting there with our pants unbuttoned and stuff like that. It's excess. And for many, many years, Michigan was the most obese state in America. So I think that we represent what Thanksgiving really brings to the table.
You get those six-legged turkeys there. Like, I miss John Madden doing his little telestrator. Hey, I got this leg here and this leg here and that leg there. Anyway, yeah,
hey, folks.
All right. So question two. This stemmed from now you're starting to see these on websites, but I took my son to his first Giant game a couple years ago, and in the stands I saw a guy with a Bobby Boucher jersey on from the Water Boy. So my question to you guys, and it doesn't have to be football, it could be any sport, if you could have a jersey from a sports movie, who would it be and why? So let's start with Jason. Jason, what's your say?
So I'm not the biggest hockey fan. I would probably pick a baseball jersey, but all the baseball movies I love are all real, like, major league teams, like Little Big League had the Twins, Rookie of the Year had the Cubs. So I'd probably pick the Mighty Ducks.
Oh.
The original first edition Mighty Ducks. Not the one they actually used in the NHL. Maybe even the part two USA ones.
So who would you want, a Gordon Bombay or a Charlie Conway?
Neither. Guy Germain.
Oh, Guy Germain, the pretty boy. The pretty boy is making out with Connie on the ice at the end of the first.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
The Oreo line.
It's crazy they've never used those jerseys.
Right.
Right?
It makes no sense. They're perfect. They're green. No one uses green. Everyone hates green. What's wrong with green?
Cool. It just doesn't mesh well with that ice, I guess.
Tell that to the Hartford Whalers.
And the Minnesota North Stars.
Well, Dallas has some green in there, too. I actually have a Mike Modano jersey in my closet, even though I'm a Rangers fan.
He was in Mighty Ducks 1.
Yes, he was. Him and Basil McRae.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Aaron, what do you say?
Well, I mean, I thought long and hard about this, and what I came to is I would like it's not just a jersey. I would like the entire uniform from the Globo Gym Cobras. And I'm talking Ben Stiller attire, full white Goodman.
Wow.
So I want the spandex, the pads, the headband. I'll grow the mustache. And what I'm hoping is that if you get that uniform, you also get the sweet, like, off-court uniform, the whole white suit.
Oh, yeah. The warm-up.
Jesus.
This isn't what I ordered. Anyway. Yes, I love that movie. Great, Gary Cole, everybody in that movie is so funny. The Ocho. All right.
Who was the other announcer in that?
Oh, that was Jason Bateman. Jason Bateman,
yeah.
Cotton.
Yeah, Cotton McKnight or something like that. Yeah. No, Cotton McKnight was Gary Cole. He was like Pepper something.
Yes, yeah, and never paying attention. Every time is anybody watching Ozark?
No, I almost went to an event for Ozark, but yeah.
It's great, but it's a dramatic piece, but there's ever so often it's like, you can't talk to your kid like that in this drama. Like, you're not the dodgeball commentator anymore.
Tim, what do you say? You're a sports movie fan?
Oh, absolutely. But I knew right away that my only choice had to be the San Francisco Fairies from the great basketball baseball mashup.
Oh my God.
Great 1998 comedy.
Yes.
Why? Just somehow it just speaks to me.
I couldn't even tell you the other teams in that movie.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely not.
They had some great ones.
Yeah. Well, it's the South Park guys, so you know, you couldn't expect anything less.
They had, yeah, the Los Angeles Rioters or Ragers.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It was like the Dallas Felons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Felons.
Jordan, what about you?
Yeah, so I was having trouble picking between two, and I didn't go with the Monstars from Space Jam because I think they've actually made those replica jerseys you actually can buy.
They do have I know they have Space Jam jerseys because somebody in our office had
Halloween.
Yeah, he had Daffy Duck on.
Yeah, my
they have Mighty Ducks ones too.
Yeah. So Jason, you mentioned you would be a baseball one. I went with a baseball movie. I would have to wear a Cucumbas jersey from the movie Hardball. And it would need to have a black armband in memory of G-Baby. Okay. Has anyone seen that movie with me?
I haven't seen it. That's a Keanu Reeves vehicle there?
And just don't bother watching because I just spoiled a major part of the ending. G-Baby dies, you guys.
Oh.
Nobody. I can't believe nobody said like Lucas's football jersey or Lucas. No, I would probably go. I want a Crash Davis, you know, from Bull Durham. You know, that's one of my favorites. Or even a Rick Vaughn, even though, you know, he's a Cleveland Indians.
The Wild Thing, yeah.
Yeah, those are some pretty cool some jerseys. I mean, if you go online, you could see a lot of them. You know, I'm surprised Aaron didn't go with the Hanson Brothers.
No. You know, I hate that movie.
Oh, not really? Hate,
but I don't know. Paul Newman, I just picture like a dancing skeleton now. Like, I don't. And my dad, for years, like every time I saw him, would ask me if I'd tried the Paul Newman pasta sauce. Mm-hmm. And like, it just put me off Paul Newman forever.
You know, I'd also like to say that as a close second runner up, I'd Jonathan Moxon jersey of Varsity Blues.
Yes, that movie was on a lot like a couple of months ago. It was like every time I flipped channels.
You know? Really?
Yeah, it was just like what? Okay, Varsity Blues is on. Okay, is it the whipped cream scene? Okay, I'm in.
I do have a Dylan Tigers t-shirt, not a jersey, but from Friday Night Lights. Yeah. Hmm. They're not a professional team, though. They're the high school team. So.
Yes. Well, yeah. So
technically an incorrect answer.
in this opinion-based question.
Oh, can't wait for the chats after this one. Okay. Give me all right, I'm going to start with Tim. Give me one sports tradition you don't get and why.
Well, speaking of incorrect answers, I think this is where the panel's going to turn on me. Yeah. It's inevitable. You know, at the risk of saying all of them, I'll go ahead and narrow it to this. And I'm not sure I can even really fully articulate this point, so we can kind of open this up a little to discussion a bit. If I'm looking at a single sports trope that I is sort of lost on me, I'm going to go with baseball and dad feelings. Look, plenty of men have like these father-son issues, and that's whatever. I get it. But it's just so funny to me how it manifests in the form of baseball, of all things. You know, you're just going to get wispy and think about like stupid nostalgia and watch this kind of boring game with a lot of stops and is so long and grow up. Playing catch, throwing a ball with dad. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I did it, but as much as I tried playing sports and tried watching sports, just none of it took. And at a certain point, I just accepted that I could not be made to ever care. And it's just one of those things that I'm like, we all have our dad issue, but man, when you get into baseball and people's kind of blubbery dad feelings, it's just I'm gone.
Like, yeah, you've lost. I get you. I mean, you know, if you're not really into sports, baseball is a tough thing to get through. If you're not really into sports, I mean, going to a baseball game is one thing. You know, it's like a lot of any sport really. You get more into it when you're there. But if you're not a baseball fan, and somebody tries to make you. Well, I could just imagine that. It's just like watching paint dry. If you're not a baseball person, and also the dad things. Yes, I grew up. You know, my dad's from the Bronx. You know, middle name is Phil because after Phil Rizzuto, and you know he.
There you go.
You know, we did the whole thing. You know, he coached Little League. I mean, that was the. It was always fun to have your dad coach, but it was always bad if you had an issue at home. Where, like, you were misbehaving, and then you tried not to carry it over to baseball. It was like, you know, I want you to run that out. Oh, no, I'm not doing nothing. You know? There were a few times when we walk in the door, and my mother was like, so I was practice. Ask his son.
Ask his son.
So I do understand where you're coming from, Tim. Not to bring the podcast down
at all. I don't know. It just tickles me because, I mean, I get if you're into baseball, whatever your sport you're into it. I'm not going to get it either way, I'm sure. But baseball specifically is like someone will tell you what's important to them about baseball, and it feels like they could add, and my dad, at the end of every sentence. I don't know why that's just baseball and not every sport.
Well, I mean, Billy Crystal based a Broadway show on that.
There you go.
All right, so Jordan, what about you?
Yeah, I stuck with baseball, but first I got to say, as Tim was telling that story, did anyone else like have like an image of young Tim having a catch with dad and like throwing his mitt down in disgust and running inside and like developing a love for mustard sandwiches?
No, no. Who, me or my dad?
Both.
I, as he was describing it, I pictured my dad saying, "They name the fucking team the Fairies. I'm out of here."
I stuck with baseball too, though. And for my dumb tradition, I went with the seventh inning stretch. Yeah. I never really understood it. It's kind of like a, hey, stand up. It's acknowledging that your game is boring. Like, all right, we know you're tired, so just stand up and stretch for a while. And also, too, like, why not do it at the halfway point, like the fourth inning stretch, you know, mid-fourth or mid-fifth inning? Like,
yeah, once it's a legal game.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't even understand the seventh inning stretch. I never have, never will. Just basically, like I said, it admits that your game is boring. So
the seventh inning stretch to me was always like, as my dad got older, it was like, okay, they're ahead or they're down a lot, we're fucking leaving. Yep. Let's get in the car. Let's, you know, we gotta get out of the Bronx. Game,
like, get our last beers now, because yes, they're gonna stop selling them.
That's usually when they cut them off. You know, yep. One thing that the Yankees do, and it started when they were doing that whole run they went on in the early 2000s, it was that, damn, you go to a game and it's like at the end of the sixth inning, you got to hear YMCA with the grounds crew coming in and doing it. And as a Yankees fan, it's like, okay, guys, enough is enough already.
That just made me think of another good answer, too. Gosh.
Go ahead, Jordan. You still have the floor.
So, okay. Here's one that I see on like YouTube all the time. I don't like the new tradition of like during timeouts, the camera panning to people dancing in the crowd, and every arena magically has a security guard who can dance really good. That's stupid, and it needs to be stopped.
Okay, I didn't know that was on the application these days to be a stadium security.
Maybe it's just a Pistons thing. I don't know.
Aaron, what about you? What do you say?
All right, well, look, I'm not trying to get political here, all right? Let me throw that out here. I had this problem for a very long time before anything.
Well, that's why we're here, Aaron. We're here to get you through this.
I don't understand why minorities are allowed – no.
I was like, oh, can we stop recording for a minute?
I – kidding, obviously. I don't – that was a great reaction. I'm really like, because, like, I know making people laugh is fun, but that second of shock and just disgust is really, really where I put my bar. No,
I don't want to get called down to Brad's office tomorrow.
I think that it's time to do away. Well, it's been time for a long time to do away with the national anthem before the game. I know where it came from. It was during the war when people were dying and obviously, like, there was a certain sense of patriotism there. But I come from more of a hockey background, obviously. And it seems like it's silly for a bunch of guys to stand on the ice for a national anthem that represents, like 5% of them. And the rest of – like, it's not like you're playing for your country in these games. You're just playing – like, if there was a song for, like, Detroit – like, Detroit had a song. I don't know.
Detroit Rock City.
Rock City.
Yeah. Ba with the ba de bang a bang.
That could be no Kid Rock.
And Montreal.
Detroit Rock. Hello, Aaron. This podcast is sponsored by Snickers, so there will be no Kid Rock talk. Thank you.
Sorry. Montreal could be the safety dance. Like, I just if we had songs that represented us, I think I'd be more on board. But I mean, Detroit, I'm not trying to pick on Detroit, but, like, why aren't they singing the Swedish anthem? Like, the whole team is from Sweden. Like, there's no sense. So it's time to do away with this. It gets rid of it. And in Quebec, like, half the time, people don't even stand for it because they hate everything. So.
Well, also, when, you know, an American team and a Canadian team, you got to sit through both the American and Canadian national anthems.
You know, I think it's just the way to teach everyone the anthem, because without sports, like, no one would ever sing it in any other context.
That's true. And then we got God Bless America now. That became a big thing in the seventh inning, after the seventh inning stretch.
How many anthems do you need?
We only need one, Real American. That's it. that's all we need.
Look, if that...
Oh, that might be our playout song.
Should be. Like, that should play when the flag is raised at the Olympics. That, and if Panama could get together with Van Halen and make that their anthem.
All right. Jason, what are you saying?
You know, I was thinking about this one, and I had trouble really coming down with one that really bothered me. Mm-hmm. But one that really, 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 really bothers me is I don't really watch soccer, but when I do, like, these players that, like, get touched and then they, like, act like they're getting shot, you know, just to draw the card. It's like they're acting like Kramer getting spit on by Roger McDowell.
That was one it's magic loogie.
It's a bit ridiculous. Like, I saw one where a guy, like, had his hair touched and he fucking flailed like, oh, no. It's all right. Settle down. All right. You're not dying.
We do have that in hockey sometimes. It's funny because, you know, they go sliding down the ice or something like that. And you could tell they have a look on their face like, OK, I'm going to see if I can get away with this.
You know, I've seen like, it happen in basketball, too. It happens in basketball, too. And it's a little silly. You look like an idiot.
Well, mine was the whole thing about throwing hats on the ice for hat tricks. You know, because I don't wear a lot of hats because I happen to have a really good head of hair. You know, not to be, you know, anything. But, you know, hats aren't cheap. You know, I'm not throwing my fucking hat on the ice. Good for you. You scored 3 goals in the game. But, you know, you ain't getting my fucking hat.
Living in Florida, when the Panthers were really good for that season, they were throwing rats on the ice. I don't know if you guys remember that. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I remember rats. Patrick Roy in the net, like protecting himself.
Yes,
the rats were raining down on him.
Yes.
Well, I mean, risk of asking a dumb question: are you saying rats as a euphemism or actually rats?
No,
ring rats. They're like rats.
Were they like rubber or were they real?
They're rubber rats.
All right.
No one brought dead rats.
Well, people bring dead octopus to the octopi.
This is true.
To Detroit, Jordan, have you ever seen that live?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're just like, okay, well, you know, I got an octopus in my pocket.
Yeah, I don't even know
that the whole game. Is an
interesting visual.
I don't even know why they were doing it. I don't remember. I was 14.
I tried to do research, but I couldn't.
At the beginning of the year, Scott Mellenby, who was the captain that year, killed a rat in the dressing room. Oh, I'm assuming he slap shot at him to death. So he killed a rat, and it became like their like luck thing. And then they went on that ridiculous playoff run. Yeah. So it became a thing.
They made it all the way to the cup to get swept.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Imagine if it had been like a goat or something.
How many slap shots would it take to kill the goat?
I guess it depends on where you hit him first.
Yeah. Oh. I did for the balls to see. Watched his eyes pop out of his head.
Okay. Andy, is this the type of commentary you were hoping
for? Oh, this is podcast gold. I can just see those place to be downloads going up through the roof.
Hashtag goat balls.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right, next question. What's one sports movie that you would love to see a reunion of, like Mighty Ducks, Little Giants? Now, I'm just going to preface this on saying I saw a picture. They did like a reunions thing and something, and I saw a picture of what the kids from The Sandlot look like today. Time has not been kind to those boys. You know, it's like some of them look like, okay, you know, where were you doing time? And that one kid who was like the little brother with the cute blue, big blue eyes and all that, you know, he got the Clint Howard syndrome, you know, cute little kid. Oh. And then grows up to be this, oh, he's that's a freaky janitor over there. Oh, God. Kind of look. So we're going to start.
Looks like he should be driving an ice cream truck.
Yeah. So we're going to start with Aaron. Aaron, what's your answer to this question or your opinion?
All right. So listen, I couldn't go with a team sport. Mm-hmm. It just didn't feel right. You're right. Those kids are fucking ugly. We don't want to see them anymore. So I went with a reunion movie of Happy Gilmore. here's what I'm thinking. All right. Like Shooter McGavin is still broken up over his loss at the Green Jacket Championship 25 years ago. So he hires a new caddy who is obviously going to be played by Daniel Day-Lewis, playing Daniel Plains. There Will Be Blood. And together, they're gonna reap revenge on Happy Gilmore. So, and the good thing about it is a lot of the good people are still alive.
All right, like Bob Barker's still alive. Okay, Adam Sandler can fight him again and maybe get his revenge. Chubbs Peterson, we get to see him. The Gator. I mean, who doesn't want to see those two again, right? the grandma's dead, but we can do something with her bones. Richard Kiel is Mr. Larson. Hologram. Well, hold on, I need Jaws because they probably must have a lot of footage from the James Bond movie they can use for Larson. And I just think it's time to get the band back together, you know? Like,
he couldn't look any worse, right?
Just anyway, tap it in. Tap-tap-tap-a-roo.
And we got to bring back Ben Stiller as the murderess.
Oh, yeah.
My fingers hurt. Well, you just drew kitchen duty.
Straight down the hall to the left there, sweetie.
All right, let's go over to Jordan. What's your answer?
So I did pick a team because I play by the rules here. So, and you mentioned a group of kids that did not age well. I guess you haven't seen Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks recently.
Oh, yeah.
That too.
He got arrested.
Yeah, I don't think he's eaten since filming wrapped Mighty Ducks. I went specifically with D2, the Mighty Ducks 2. Because then we could get a look at my childhood crush, Julie the Cat Gaffney.
Julie the Cat.
Ooh.
See how she's growing up. We could also get Keenan, you know, from SNL and Good Burger, all those things.
Oh, yeah.
What was the cowboy's name?
Oh.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
I just stumped us all. But the cowboy could be there. This. Yeah, you know, he could just put Clint Eastwood out there, I guess. But yeah, I think D2, the Mighty
Dwayne Ducks, Robertson.
Dwayne Robertson, that's right. And he's the rootinest, tootinest duck out there. And I think you should also get Team Iceland out there as well. Gunnar Stahl. And
yeah, there, yes.
You know, and
that Iceland chick was hot.
Yeah, so.
Sanderson.
I definitely went with D2, Mighty Ducks. USA and the Iceland team.
Cool. All right, Jason, you're up.
That's exactly what my answer was, too. I am a Mighty Ducks diehard fan. Awesome. So I could go with any of the three teams, even in part three when Adam Banks went to the varsity team. But yeah, I could. I love the Mighty Ducks. Bring back Emilio. You can leave Goldberg wherever he is, because if you guys haven't seen this mugshot.
Yeah. Well, Fulton Reed is playing a lawyer on Daredevil these days, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In fact, you know, he was like this huge guy, and in every other movie, he played like a wimp or like the best friend kind of thing.
Yeah, like, I think he was in like a She's All That.
It's the same. Then you had the other kid with the red fro. He was the only other thing I remember
Averman.
Seeing him. Yeah, Averman. Only other thing I remember seeing him, and he was Mike Myers' little brother in So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah. He was. I also saw him recently in an episode of ER.
Yeah,
Well, I've been watching it on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
He's prepping for the next Place to Be retrospective.
Yeah. We'll get on that, Jason.
Oh, I'm all for it. I have things to say.
Well, I want to be on the other ER retrospective, the Elliot Gould sitcom from the 80s. So I'm going to start binging that.
Wasn't that only on for like a season?
Well, I'll get through it quick then. It'll be a pod blast. It won't be
Elliot Gould.
A series.
Jesus.
George Clooney was on that too, I think.
I think he was.
Yeah, he was.
It's all Clooney. All comes back to Clooney. All right, Tim, you're up, man.
Hold on real quick about Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
You know the Bash brother that's not on Daredevil? He's married. He's married to the chick who sings the Frozen songs.
Really?
Idina Menzel?
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem?
Yeah, he's married to Idina Menzel.
Wow, you're just full of fun facts there, Sherman.
I am. I listen. I like what I like.
Where in the rules did it state we had to pick a team, Jordan? Because I'm still fuming over that shot.
Listen, my other choice was all 10 boxes from Digstown. So, you know, Louis Gossett Jr. had to box in one night.
Well, they reunited the Karate Kid. on Cobra Kai, which still have yet to watch. Although I think I might have a screener of it somewhere. But anyway, Tim, you're up, man.
Okay. Yeah, well, it was mentioned earlier in the show, and what a crying shame that we only had one installment of Dodgeball, a true underdog story. I mean, you guys, there are so many spinoff possibilities. How to choose among the Poughkeepsie State Flying Cougars, the She-Mullets, the Milks, my favorite, the Moose Knucklers?
Did anyone actually watch Extreme Dodgeball that they had on, like, Spike or whatever?
No.
It was a thing.
Oh, my God. There used to be a Dodgeball video game, I remember, back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, so terrible.
How dare you? It was not terrible. Are you in your mind?
It was terrible. It was terrible.
You killed people.
Your mustard sandwich.
You killed people in that game. Their souls went up to heaven when you hit them with a ball.
Yes, I remember that.
Sounds kind of amazing.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I need to replay it.
I think I downloaded it on my kid's Wii U before we got the Switch and we got rid of the Wii U.
Yeah, probably, because I had it.
Yep. Yes, that was so much fun. Jesus. Oh, my God. You know, talk about crazy shows. There was a show on History for a season, Full Metal Jousting.
Yeah, no, I don't remember at all.
That was crazy.
That old Jousting, awesome.
Yes, so, okay, cool. Anybody got anything else to say on that question?
Is Brian Dennehy still alive?
Yes.
Because if he's still alive, let's get – anybody see the movie Gladiator?
Gladiator, the good Gladiator, yes.
The good Gladiator, wow.
Yep. Top of the head, hardest part of
the body.
Oh, man.
For those who haven't seen it, it's a boxing movie about like a guy named – I think his name's Tommy, right, Aaron? Tommy?
Yes.
And he's trying to make money, you know, to get his dad's in gambling debts. And so he starts boxing underground. And he's this ripped young man, and he's the best boxer around. And, like, the big boss fight at the end is against Brian Dennehy.
Brian Dennehy. A bare-knuckle fight. A bare-knuckle fight, no less. Yeah. And all of the other boxers are basically like they've been pulled out of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah. Nice.
There's a cheater. There's
a Von Kaiser.
Yeah, there is a Von Kaiser.
Don Flamenco.
A bald bull.
Yeah. King Hippo.
That could be a future great debate topic. The best opponent in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
That'd be tough.
Yeah.
We could also talk
about that's a lot of choices.
Which one is the most offensive as well?
Yes, that's true.
Piston Honda.
Probably Piston Honda.
Piston Honda.
Okay, we settled it.
I don't know. I mean, he was offensive, but he also appeared twice.
Yeah. He was badass with those eyebrows.
What was the tiger guy?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty bad.
Great tiger.
Yeah, Great Tiger.
Well, Piston Honda, in his mid-round quotes, said he was going to go kamikaze on you. So he's a clear choice.
What about King Hippo?
Yeah, that's more comedy. I'm not as offended by him.
No. Well, you're not a hippopotamus, so I don't think.
True. I'm also not a king either.
Yeah. You're not one of the marginalized.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to talk about marginalized, there's not a lot of hippos left, all right?
True.
Oh, cool. All right. Anyway, so all right. So our final question category for the first block here: what sport would you like to see become the definitive number five in the U.S. after football, baseball, basketball, and hockey? So we're going to start with Aaron, or we can expand it Canada.
To see Canada. Offended,
you know,
to speak for all of Canada.
You have to.
I guess. Well, look, I mean, I actually went outside of Canada to find the sport for you guys.
Okay.
Like, because I was thinking what I want for you. Ooh. You know, like, I'm in a generous
You're a mood. Giver.
So I'm only a giver. So what I want to give to you guys is, in England, they do this thing where they throw a wheel of cheese down a hill and a bunch of people and a bunch of people sprint down the hill trying to catch it. It's called the cheese run.
Where did they? Who are the ad geniuses that came up with that one?
I don't know. The British, man, you know, they colonized the world. They made a cheese run. But if you've ever seen this thing, it's just men sprinting down a hill as fast as they can, and you know how this is going to finish. No one gets the cheese, and everyone goes to the hospital. So, I think for you guys, I think you guys would like that. I mean, I'd like it. I want to come and see it in America.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Wisconsin will probably have the best team, I guess. We'll have to talk to Steve Willey about getting season tickets, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Anyway, we're going to move on to Jordan.
Yeah, my answer is actually Steve Willey themed as well, but my alternative answer is Full Metal Jousting, by the way. Pretty great. I don't know what it is, but it sounds awesome.
It was so awesome it lasted one season.
Yeah, I actually wrote down anything but soccer.
Oh, yeah.
It was my choice. But if I had to pick something, I went with American Ninja Warrioring, I guess, is the sport, because our very own Steve Willey participates in that, right. And we might know a pro athlete if we do that.
There you go.
Doesn't the Rock? Isn't the Rock have like a something like that coming out soon on one of the TV?
Yeah, it's like the Titan Games or something like
that.
There's a ton of those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's like they are growing American in popularity Gladiators. Quite a bit. Yeah.
Oh, American Gladiators was so much fun.
I changed my answer. American Gladiators.
Yeah. Everybody's got to have that nickname, that Zap Nitro.
Did anyone watch the reboot in like 2009? Yeah,
it's great. I loved
Gina Carano.
Yeah. Oh man, she was just heavenly. And then and the guy who played Titan, I forget his name. Oh man, those abs went on forever.
They were glorious.
The Rock's cousin was one of them.
That's all right. Wasn't Matt Morgan?
Matt Morgan was on that. Yeah,
Matt Morgan. Yep.
Talk about a guy that stayed to obscurity. All right, Tim.
I've got a couple of ideas.
Okay.
The first that comes to mind is competitive ER binge watching.
I'd be the world champ.
We could go far in that. And barring that, something with like Fortnite Let's Plays on YouTube. There's got to be some money and some viewership in that too.
Yeah, I don't understand kids watching people playing video games on like YouTube or whatever. I'm like, What is fun? I can't even watch somebody else play a video game in my house. It's like, why are you out seeking this? I don't get it.
Well, look, if you think that's bad, my kids are young, so they were into Paw Patrol for a while. Oh. But now they what they like is what they call fake Paw Patrol. So it's somebody on YouTube. Hold on, it's someone on YouTube playing with Paw Patrol toys and doing the voices.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I'm changing my answer.
You know what? My daughter is 16, but back when she was little, she really was into Lilith's Pet Shop because she wanted to do LPS videos, which were the girls just taking the talking, doing the whole voice thing, and I'm like, what is going on here? My poor kid. She's like, Daddy, you work in TV, so you can make these videos. I'm like, no, I can't. No.
You should have done it, man. You could have monetized that. You'd be a rich man today. Oh,
I don't know. I would have broken my no-compete clause, so sorry. All right. Tim, you got any other ideas, or we're going to move on to the Sherman?
Oh, no. Those were my ideas.
Jason, what do you got?
Yeah, I was originally going to say soccer, but I realized that I really hate soccer. So why would you even consider it? Because of the world popularity, I was trying to be diplomatic.
Sure.
I'm going to pick dodgeball because dodgeball's awesome. It really is. And if you guys, if you could, maybe it's on YouTube, I don't know. I haven't tried to look it up, but that Extreme Dodgeball show, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I know. There's adult dodgeball leagues, and there's also adult kickball leagues. We did as kids, they have adult leagues for now.
I've partaken in many adult kickball leagues.
Now, in dodgeball, in your version of dodgeball, here I hate this version of dodgeball. I hate when you catch a ball and you have to bring somebody back. I hate that version.
Well, kids.
That's the only way to play, man.
No,
there were other variations.
Yeah, like
that's
you
the
get
only
hit,
I ever played.
Because you come back in by going in the end zone. When a ball passes, you hit someone from the end zone, then you come back in. Because catching the ball is just part of the fun.
Yeah.
Dad, end zone? What?
I'm like, wait. I don't remember. Is that the Canadian version?
Canadian football.
We're doing Canadian rules of dodgeball.
Look, we have better rules for football. We have better rules for dodgeball.
Canadian dodgeball is basically you apologize after you hit somebody. I'm sorry about that.
Unless you're in Quebec, and you just spit on their face because Quebec is not like
Canada. Now, when you guys were kids, when you played dodgeball, did you use like those red kickballs?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I got wailed in the face with one when I had
braces.
Right now.
I still have a scar on my right on my mouth.
So years later, I went back to be a counselor at the camp I went to, and we played a bunch of dodgeball, and they had to use these soft foam balls. I'm like, what is this?
You can't even throw those.
Nothing. Exactly.
Yeah, they have those at the trampoline parks that they have around here.
Yep. I've seen those.
No, we played.
That's not dodgeball.
Yeah, when we played dodgeball as a kid.
We used to play dodgeball with soccer balls.
Yeah. Oh, those fucking hurt.
Oh, yeah, they did.
We had different rules. We had the standard, you know, catch if somebody comes in. Then there was the other one where it was like, I forgot what it was called, but in order to come back in, the person that got you out had to get out. So, like, you know, you had that one kid that was, like, you know, always getting everybody out that you just had to gang up on.
Huh.
And then there was another game. It was called Jackpot. So if anybody caught a ball, your entire team comes back in. Those games lasted a while.
Weirdo rules. What rules are these?
See, were you guys just so bad at catching the ball that it had to be a momentous thing?
Jackpot!
We caught a ball thrown at us!
Jeez.
All right. On that note, we're gonna wrap up the A block here of the first episode of Great Debate. A lot of fun, guys. You know, good spirited conversation, a lot of laughs, and you know, we're gonna continue that when we come back after the break when we move into pop culture. So, hang out, stick around with us. We got Aaron George, Jordan Duncan, Tim Capel, and Jason Sherman. I'm Andy Otterton. Stick around. Great Debate. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place Me Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here, and we want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceMeNation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place Me Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTBN Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post-Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceMeNation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceMeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceMeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to episode one of The Great Debate. I'm hanging out here with Aaron George, Jordan Duncan, Tim Capel, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I got it right. I'm Jason Sherman.
Got it.
All right, thank you. But before we get back to chatting with these fine fellows here, we're going to talk about PlaceToBeNation.com, only place to be in your pop culture world. Talk about some of the great content on the site right now. So we got the WWE TV Snapshot, which is you know, written by a group of people every week. We got PTBN's Excellent Network Adventure, the last article covering the SmackDown from Halloween 2002. A lot of fun stuff there. Every week we have the Campus Hot Takes for you college football fans. We have Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web, which is a lot of fun. If you just like to click on links that give you some unique and fun stories, you must check it out. We got the Wednesday Morning Quarterback with the Cowboy and Gerasino D'Amato, and Stacey's with her Divas Deep Dive. Also, with Christmas coming up very shortly, do a little help out for the guys over here at Place to Be. Click on that little Amazon link there. Just, you know, if you're going to do your shopping on Amazon, it gets you there the same way as if you went directly. It just puts a little coin in the pocket of the guys here because, you know, you guys are getting a lot of free content, a lot of great pop culture, sports, music, everything runs the gamut here at Place to Be Nation, the only place to be in your pop culture world. All right. Bills paid. Here we go. Into section two, B block, our pop culture segment. So we're going to have a lot of fun here. Like a lot of people, I'm watching some of these shows that came back, like Will and Grace. I'm not watching Murphy Brown because I didn't watch it when it was on the first time. But with old TV series coming back and being remade, give me one show they should bring back. So let's start with Tim. Tim, what do you say?
Okay. This is going to sound like a non-serious answer, but it's serious. Okay. And I'm going to go with a show that was its cancellation was announced 2 weeks ago. Full program called American Vandal, Netflix original.
They canceled it?
Yes.
Oh,
Netflix has been getting cancel happy lately.
Yeah, bring it back.
I am so fucking beside myself pissed because, and I guess, should I explain the premise a little bit?
Yeah, I actually have never seen it, but I've heard of it.
Not enough people watched it, I guess.
I've seen season one.
Yeah, it's a good show.
It's a very good show. It takes a mockumentary style approach that kind of sends up the rather popular true crime genre right now. It's hysterically funny. It takes basically the most absurd, ridiculous, just stupid cases and just proves how invested you will get in the resolution of these, just this nonsense as it goes along. But it's also kind of this really cutting social commentary just on classism in America. And like the second season even sort of closed with this big generational call to arms that was really quite poignant. So when you can sort of bring a tear to my eye after 8 episodes of a season devoted to solving the mystery of the turd burglar, you're really on to something.
Turd Ferguson, that's a funny name.
I am a cynical, heartless bastard, and this show actually touched me. So, and I think the reason I'm so mad that it got canceled is not just, I mean, good shows get canceled all the time, we know that, but you can sort of make your peace with it when you realize this was something that played to, let's say, niche interests, and you couldn't get too attached to it, right? Well, yeah. My feeling is there is no reason why this series could not have found its audience and really been a big hit with that, like that coveted 18 to 39 demographic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think Netflix has no one to blame but their own shitty-ass promotion of it. I mean, let's keep pushing the OA into everybody's recommendations and bury this. It's just critically acclaimed. It was the one, like, really pearl, I would say, in their chum bucket of original programming right now. It's just unbelievable to me that they let this go. The only thing I can maybe figure is it was, I want to say, produced by CBS Studios. So it wasn't truly made by Netflix. So maybe CBS is asking for too much money, especially in light of the show's critical reception. So I understand the creators are shopping it around. Maybe they'll find another, I guess, distributor. But, you know, Netflix, they still look like idiots for pulling this after, you know, two great seasons, two really well-received seasons, that hysterical, critical success and just funny and poignant at the same time. I just, I was so mad when I read that. But yeah, I mean, I guess if we can't have nice things anymore, let's just bring back Shasta McNasty. I don't know.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing today is having ownership so you could do everything, the streaming, international and all that. Rights. You know, also I think Netflix is a little scared because they've been getting some bad press about, you know, their, you know, you can, people get fired there on a moment's notice. And also, with Disney Play coming out next year, I think that's probably the motivation behind some of the other recent cancellations. Like everybody, you know, I am kind of a little behind on my Marvel series viewing on Netflix. I'm still at the Defenders. But the fact that Iron Fist got canceled, people were like, eh. But then Luke Cage got canceled. Everybody's like, what? Mm-hmm. What's happening? So, so
I didn't really blink at those so much because you kind of feel like those deals are winding down because of the Disney streaming service that's supposed to be coming eventually at some point. And with American Vandal, you know, you got CBS Studios. I'm like, oh, are they trying to find content for CBS All Access?
All Access, yeah.
Which, honestly, I would probably subscribe just for as long as it took me to watch a prospective third season of this show and then cancel it. Right. I mean, people would work
for Star Trek.
Yeah.
All right. Aaron.
And the Big Brother live feeds as well.
Yeah. Aaron, what's your feeling on this question?
Well, I think we'd all feel a little better if we went back to a place where everybody knows your name. All right. Now, but it's going to be a bit of a twist, all right, because you have to kind of twist it a little bit, right? Like when we brought back Roseanne, there were new pit characters. So here's the story. Woody Boyd and Kelly Gaines, as you know, we're talking about Cheers for those of you.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Woody Boyd and Kelly Gaines got married and had two children that we never saw. So I am going to cast these children as Huel from Breaking Bad and Rose from Star Wars. So they're going to have these two children. I mean, they're in their 20s. All right. Nice, diverse family. Hold on. We're getting there. And here's the premise is that Woody and Kelly have moved on from the bar. They're successful. They have a nice house. They're wholesome people. Maybe they invented Facebook. Something good for them. And Woody takes his children into Boston one day, and now they're adults, and they probably live in an expensive suburb. And he takes them into this bar that he used to work at. Like, oh, it's kind of a fun thing. But in the bar, you have the same people. Sam Malone is still really sad. He's still working that bar. Norm Peterson is just he's not dead because his liver – he's got like a robotic liver, but he's clearly an angry alcoholic. Fraser Crane, he's back too, angry at the world. These are all drunks. It's a show about drunks, okay? And I think what will be interesting, Carla is exactly the same. Like, she hasn't aged a day. But I think what's going to be interesting is the gang is going to see Woody and his children happy, and they are going to attempt to dismantle his family piece by piece.
Oh.
So they're going to start by turning the son, Huel, into a drunk, and we're going to kind of break down the family unit and see how far they want to bring Woody back to the bar. And then you can have cameos like Robin Colcord's ghost. You can have...
Roger Reed is actually dead, you know.
I know, that's why you need his ghost. I've thought it through.
Okay. You obviously have, yes. This is not, you didn't half-ass it, Aaron.
Rebecca can be there. Like, I think it's just a nice reunion, diverse show. Let's get back to Cheers.
You're doing Grimdark Cheers.
Yeah.
This will be on the CW then.
Cheers 2000.
Cheers for the new millennium.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
That put a lot of thought into that. I'm impressed.
That was something. All right. Jason, you can follow that.
Well, I didn't book a whole show. My initial answer was going to be Boy Meets World, but then I remembered, they did Girl Meets World and they didn't do well.
That sucked.
The only episodes I even really enjoyed is when they brought back the old actors to appear. So I'm going to say a show you all know I like, Dawson's Creek.
All right, back to the
why
creek.
Not, you know? You have Dawson as that uppity producer now of that show that's just like his real life on Dawson's Creek. You have Pacey and Joey together. I don't know if you got any. I think I'm probably the only one who ever watched the show. Am I right?
I'm roughly familiar with the names. It does surprise me a little bit that they've never done anything with this.
Well, are you guys familiar with the show? It lasted one season. Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Yeah, yes. I watched
it. It was a good show.
Do you guys remember that episode with James Vanderbeek?
Yes.
He was in every episode.
Well, the Dawson's Creek one where he where he was going to do the reunion. Mm-hmm. No?
No.
I just remember him playing himself.
My kids were smaller. I had no sleep then.
There was one episode where they were doing a Dawson's Creek reunion, and he did this every year. Kristen Ritter's character like wrote him letters as like Katie Holmes and Joshua Jackson to make him think that they wanted a reunion. That never really panned out. But I'd like to see a reunion. I mean, they're all working actors now. They're all doing stuff. I guess Michelle Williams wouldn't be able to come back because they killed her. But everyone else is
ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know she died on the show.
Yeah, they killed her in the finale.
Could I add a little twist to your show? Because I like it.
I
just think there might be something missing. So, okay.
Oh, God.
Everything.
Kuehl from plays the role of Dawson.
No, you forgot Kier O'Donnell. Wasn't he on that show?
Who?
The Kier O'Donnell. Wasn't he like one of the jerks or something? He was in the first movie where death gets you. Final Destination.
Kerr Smith.
Yeah.
That's Kerr Smith.
Okay. Kerr Smith. Whatever. I don't know his name. Kier O'Donnell. I don't
yes.
know.
He was, the first gay character on a teen show or something like that?
Fun fact.
So your show is great, but here, look. Add this. Everything you said is fine. There's been a horrible flood, okay?
Oh, boy.
And all the homes. From a hurricane? Maybe if you want. I I'm not. I'm spitballing, right?
Oh yeah, the creek flooded. Yeah,
I like it.
Call it, and it destroyed people's lives. You call it Dawson's River. Twist.
Oh man. Okay, I'm for it. They're all built now. They have to deal with this.
Yeah.
All right, Jordan. What's your idea?
So, you know, the question is what old show would we like to be brought back and not, you know, like recast or anything like that in a major way? And I have one that I think would be perfect and you wouldn't have to deal with it being dated or anything like that. So let me just say this. Theorizing that one could time travel within his own lifetime, Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the quantum leap accelerator and vanished. He awoke to find himself trapped in the past, facing mirror images that were not his own. And driven by an unknown force to change history for the better. His only guide on this journey is Ale, an observer from his own time, who appears in the form of a hologram that only Sam can see and hear. And so Dr. Beckett finds himself leaping from life to life, striving to put right what once went wrong, and hoping each time that his next leap will be the leap home.
One of the all-time great bummer season finales.
Series, yeah. Basically, the last episode, Sam meets, I guess, God? I don't know.
I was never entirely clear.
Yeah, just some bartender that knows who he is, and then he just chats with him for a while. And then just on the screen it says, Sam never went home. But what I thought you could maybe make it new is, have, like, I don't know if Sam had a wife and kid or anything like that. I think he had a wife. You know, his kid's grown, and his kid steps into the Quantum Leap Accelerator trying to find his dad. And, he could just have Ziggy give a 32.5% chance.
Does he leap into his dad, who is in the process of leaping into someone else?
Yeah, and that's why he never got home, because his kid blocked the path for him.
Oh, yeah, and he was stuck in limbo.
Yeah, the evil leaper, too. Could
lived out a hellish, immortal existence.
I feel like Austin Powers when he's explaining something like, and I've gone cross-eyed.
Have you never seen it, Andrew?
I've actually never. I kind of didn't see that one when I was growing up. I knew of it.
It's basically a time travel show. He leaps into different times, but it's
he gets to be a different character.
You know, the best episodes are, of course, when he's like a woman and you look in the mirror and you see his reflection, but he has to act like the person and he basically has to right a wrong. Usually they die or go to jail or something and fix their life for them. And then he leaps on out of there. It's a really cool show.
Yeah. I mean, I watch iZombie. I don't know if anybody else watches that show.
Cause I know what it is. I've never seen it though.
Basically it's zombies are living among us. It's kind of gone a little crazy place the last season, but the gist of the show is that the main character Liv is she works in a medical examiner office, and the lore or the rules of the zombies there you know, you have to eat brains and you can stay like a normal person, but you take on the personality of the brain. So you're playing a different character like every week, and it kind of helps her solve crimes, blah, blah, blah. So that, you know, kind of similar in a way, kind of stretching sort it of. A little bit, where he gets to get
maybe the most famous episode of Quantum Leap, he leaped into the body of Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
And so he thought his role was to save JFK, and he couldn't, you know, and all this stuff. And then we find out that in the original history, Jackie died too, and Sam saved Jackie's life. Still didn't get to go home for that, though.
Could I add something that I think is just missing from yours, Jordan?
Absolutely.
I love it. Again, I love it. I think it's brilliant. We can even do another JFK. That's fine. I would just like to add that Sam Beckett's body is just riddled with AIDS. Like, and he's just got to deal with that also.
See, I always watch the original under that premise anyways.
Okay. That's how it was written. It was clear.
Yeah. That's why he had to invent time travel.
With AIDS. Okay.
Yeah, Aaron has gone to a dark place, guys.
I'll be honest. It could have been darker. Like, when I thought about this one, I went with Cheers, but I was like, do I do the Cosby Show? Like, do we do him in jail? Like,
wow. Yeah, I mean, I was going with happy endings because that was a fun show that lasted one season. Yeah, but hey, what do I know?
That was a really good show. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on Hulu now. Anyway, check it out. So, okay. So next question we got here is so I don't know if you guys know that they're re-releasing Deadpool 2, I believe, in December as a PG-13 cut. From what I've heard from like Nerdist or whatever, that the reasoning behind this is probably positioning Deadpool to go into the MCU, since now, you know, the Fox Marvel thing, Fox Disney thing, I mean, is coming. It's going to be finished sometime next year. But the question really is, you know, should that start being a trend with like R-rated, you know, movies where they start re-releasing, you know, PG-13s or, you know, whatever, softer cuts? Will it water down the movies or and also will it take away the screens from some, you know, smaller movies to, you know, that they're that could use those screens? So, Jason, we're going to start with you with this one.
I absolutely hate it, and I don't want anything to do with it. Yeah. It's a bad idea. It's stupid. Agree. It sucks. And they should never do it to any rated R movie. If a movie's meant to be R, especially Deadpool, that will not work PG-13, and I will never watch a PG-13 cut of Deadpool.
I mean, if you want to see a PG-13 cut, watch it when it's on FX.
I won't even do that.
It's hard. That's like the first time I watched like Pulp Fiction on like Channel 11. I was like, why?
Yeah,
why even bother?
It's like trying to listen to an Eminem record on like regular radio. I don't like it at all.
All right, Tim, what's your feelings?
Yeah, I got to say, first off, I don't totally buy the line that they're doing this to set up Deadpool for the MCU, because why would Fox give a shit at this point? I mean,
yeah.
To me, it reads more like an accountant who looked over some internal documents and saw like projected box office totals for the film if they released it as an R film versus PG-13, and was like, you know, we could make more money if we had gone with the PG-13 rating, which could be true, but it's like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too now, where they felt like maybe the take wasn't as much as it could have been, but if they go back to that well, they could, you know, make up the difference and get to whatever that expectation or threshold might have been, probably and then some, since it'll be a around Christmas time release. So I think that's all that's really motivating this. And if anything, it could potentially poison the well for Marvel Studios. I mean, you've got Fox wanting to make their money now, understandably, but they're not worried about the long-term outlook or prospects for this franchise, this property. You do run a pretty big risk, I think, just from the standpoint of brand dilution. You know, people have a certain expectation of what Deadpool is now after two films. So what are we doing where we have like vastly different versions of the same film in terms of content in the market? You know, that's going to be possibly confusing some people and squandering the goodwill that they've built up to this point. So, I mean, long term, pretty bad, I think, just as a business decision, but I can kind of see where they'd be coming from here. I do worry that it could be setting a potentially bad precedent where major studios now look at this and go, oh, well, we'll just drop, you know, our major releases with an R rating, and if it doesn't make the money we want it to, that's all right. We'll just recut it, slap a PG-13 on it, and, you know, get there. It's just like, it seems like a bad and wrong lesson could be learned coming out of this, and that's what I worry about a little bit.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Jordan, what do you say about this question?
So I think what should be done is actually the opposite. I think all the PG-13 movies should have rated R or even more NC-17 release versions.
So the Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice approach.
Yeah, exactly. Only like it gets really, really intense. You know, when they both say Martha, they look at each other, they fall in love. I don't know. We have like a full-on sex scene. Who knows what happens?
Funnel,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we should just, even the movies we talked about, who wouldn't watch the R-rated version of D2 The Mighty Ducks?
You know, where like I would all day.
Just like it, like they corner Charlie Conway and they like beat him up and like inject him with like heroin or something, and he's like hooked. You know? And so like 30 minutes of the movie is Charlie trying to score a fix. I think that could be really interesting. So
I think Goldberg would be more realistic.
I think Goldberg's looking for a fix these days.
But yeah, I mean, to answer the real question, no, I think it's dumb. And I think part that we haven't really touched on yet is it does take away from other stuff in theaters. I know there's people who say all we get is superhero movies, stuff like that. I get that. I mean, I'm a fan of superhero movies. I'm going to see them. But I do get that it feels sometimes like that's all that you have to watch.
Yeah, especially this time of year when Oscar movies are
literally already
out.
Been out before. That doesn't really help that problem.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and like I said, you know, this time of year, you know, if you're a movie fan who like really like, you know, likes the Oscars and is like, you know, one of those people like, I'd actually like to see the movies that are nominated, and it's very hard to find sometimes.
Yep.
And with the movie that came out, you know, over the summer getting re-released just so, you know, 13 and 14 year olds can go see it without their parents. No.
And they saw it anyways. Let's be real, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, my 11-year-old has been begging me to see both Deadpools.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I might just let him see it and fast forward to the Calendar Girl scene of the first one.
I stopped caring about the Oscars when they like Crash win.
Yeah.
Crash only won an Oscar. Best death.
Oh.
Sorry.
It was so bad.
All right, Aaron.
Yeah, he was really young. He died really young. Look, I'm not gonna add. I hate it. I hate it. Right? Because can we just have something for us? Yep. Like, if you go to the movie theaters, it's all for kids. And I have kids that are 7, 3, and 8 months. I don't take the 8 month at a movie. He doesn't understand shit. All right.
Like, thank you for that, by the way.
They don't understand anything. But like, everything is for them. Can we just have one? And I know why. It's also because a lot of kids want to dress up like. My son wants to be Deadpool. He can't. He's got to wait, and that's it. And they already released all kinds of nonsense on DVD anyway. So I'll say this. When I saw the second Deadpool – get a load of this. When I saw the second Deadpool, there was a mother in the front row with two kids that couldn't have been older than 6 and 8. And I was appalled. I almost yelled at them, but I wasn't in my home province, so I wasn't sure.
Tell me you ran up to them and said, "What the fuck are you doing?"
No, I did yell. I did yell at the woman that had like she brought her kid to Avengers Infinity War, and she with the kid. The movie starts. The kid breaks out a tablet and starts watching another movie.
Oh God!
I wasn't having any of that.
Oh, I hate that. Oh. Yeah, thank you for not being that person. Like, I remember when I went to see Talladega Nights in the theater many years ago, and I get there late, so I had to sit towards the front of the theater, and I sit down, and I look to my left, and I just see somebody sitting there across from me, and they have a kid, a baby in a carrier, and they're just rocking the carrier while Will Ferrell's up there going shake and bake. What is happening here?
I was in a movie with maybe a couple months old kid. It was Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Why?
I mean, first of all, how dare this parent subject that child to that terrible, terrible movie? And I had to deal with the screaming the whole time. I remember
when I went to see The Expendables in the theater, this girl walks in with her friend, and they have a stroller. I'm like, what the fuck? I walk out of that movie, they're like, I had a headache. That movie was so loud and everything. I walk out, I'm like, oh my God, I need Advil. And I'm like, that poor, how was that baby quiet? Either that or the movie was just so loud I didn't hear the baby screaming and crying. But I'm like, parents think. I don't want to be that guy. I mean, my son, you know, had wandered when he was younger. Many a walks out of movie theaters. I mean, I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing that I only saw half a Yogi Bear in the movie theater because my son had to wander. But, you know, I mean, people got to think.
Sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
Or, like, just go in the – like, if we go with our – even my kids who are, like, 7 and 3, if I bring them, I bring them in the afternoon where there's no one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I'm kind of – you know what this kind of reminds me of? The bygone days when you would have these, like, popular hard R action movies that would spawn, like, a big multimedia franchise that was totally aimed at kids, like – RoboCop has a cartoon, action figures. All this stuff. Like, they never, of course, actually recut and put RoboCop back out in theaters as a PG-13 or PG-rated film. But it sort of reminds me of that same thing. Just it's not as charming, you know. It's the same philosophy of everybody saw it anyway. So why are you going to actually re-release the actual film itself like this?
Go ahead.
You can put a guy like Deadpool in the Marvel movies and just have him be a PG-13 character there and make it part of the joke. Like, oh my God, in my movie, I would have.
Yeah. Make it a little meta,
which is what the character is. I mean, it totally worked.
Yep.
Very cool. All right, cool. Good stuff, guys. All right. So we're going to move on. Give me one movie franchise that needs to be revitalized and one that needs to end like now. So, I'm going with, one that I like to see revitalized, but they got to do it right in the casting, is Indiana Jones. I mean, I'm a huge fan of that franchise, but, you know, putting Shia in that franchise after everybody had a bad taste in their mouth from him, from his public, you know, whatever he was doing. Plus, he was in those crap Transformers movies, and he was, you know, the wrong guy at the wrong time. And for one that needs to go away, I'm going to say, even, and they just announced something to do with it, Pirates of the Caribbean. I loved the first Pirates of the Caribbean. I liked the second one. Third one, fourth one sucked. The fifth one was a little bit better.
There's five of them?
Yes, there have been 5 pirate movies.
Holy cow.
Yes. Yep. And actually, they just said that Johnny Depp is done, you know, for many reasons.
Well, but he's so really done.
But they need to, and this will go into one of our next question, but they're going to focus on other franchises coming. And somebody making margaritas?
Vacuuming?
Yeah, well, multitask, you know.
Sorry, I was shaving.
Sorry, I walked by my fan. I apologize.
It's always Sherman. If you're not coughing, you're making noise. Jeez.
So, Andy, if you're going to reboot Indiana Jones, who are you casting?
That's a good question. You know, I didn't think that far because, you know, but they got to do it soon because Harrison Ford is getting very old. I mean, you got to stay away from like some obvious choices like Miles Teller and people like that, who apparently is going to play Goose's son in the Maverick movie coming up.
God damn it.
Yeah. So
you got to get, you know, who they get Idris Elba. They always want him to do stuff.
We're canceling the apocalypse.
You can have Deadpool be Indiana Jones.
Hugh from Breaking Bad, I think the obvious choice.
Obvious. And if you disagree, you're a racist. So
Carla from
James Vanderbeek.
James Vanderbeek.
But Pirates, you know, Pirates doesn't need to go away forever, just for like a long, good period of time. So we're going to start with Jordan. Jordan, what are your answers about these franchises?
Sure. So Vin Diesel is furious enough.
God, I don't want to think about this.
But he's family.
That's the one. That's my scrap. Fast and the Furious. I don't know how many there are. I've honestly never seen any of them.
They're off shooting.
None of them have ever interested me.
Do you know The Rock and Jason Statham are getting an offshoot series, Hobbs and Shaw?
I prefer Calvin and Hobbs, but okay. Yeah.
Is the tiger named Shaw?
I could be done with Fast and Furious, and I never even started. So I did think about Indiana Jones as my bring back, but I had the problem of who would be Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's
I
feel a like tough one.
People like us who grew up with it, nobody could be Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even be able to call them Indiana Jones. It'd have to be like you have Harrison Ford come in as Indiana Jones and he kind of appoints his successor. And I don't know. I feel like you're kind of fighting a losing battle right from the start there.
Yeah.
So here's what I came up with. Not really obscure. It's a movie franchise we all know, but maybe it's weird for me to say bring it back. And then I was Googling it a little bit, and I guess there is talks of a third one. I said bring back Gremlins because we are raising a generation of children who are totally ignorant to Mogwai culture, and our kids need to know how to take care of Mogwais to make sure Gremlins don't come. And Gremlins are – both the Gremlins movies are pretty good in their own way. I think the first one's a little more kind of like – it's not a scary movie, but it's scary for kids.
It's more of a horror movie, and then the second one is kind of campy.
Yeah, and I like both of them.
Yeah, so. They're a lot of fun. I have not yet shown my kids them. It's so disappointing. You know, I think I talked about this on my last show, but, you know, I showed my daughter the original Ghostbusters the night before I went to see the new one. And I'm like, we come home, and I'm like, which one do you like better? She's like, the new one. I'm like, no, I don't know. All right, well. Hey, but, yeah, I mean, I would love, you know, for a new Gremlins. That's a good pick, Jordan. Aaron, what do you say?
Okay, well, let's go with the one I'm bringing back first. Right. When I say the name Michael Dudikoff, what immediately springs to mind?
Rico from Bachelor anything? Party.
No.
Not
no,
Rico. He was something else, right?
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about either.
American Ninja.
I'm talking the American Ninja. We're going to bring back the American Ninja. Okay.
Are we bringing back Canon Films as well?
Obviously. And we're bringing back Carl Weathers. It's the second mention tonight for me because in American Ninja 2, he was fucking jacked and I loved it. Look, Snakes in a Plane was a revelation a couple of years ago.
Oh, that was
and
great.
We need. Well, I want more movies like that, where like almost in the so bad it's good category.
Sure.
And I think if you're gonna do that, why not have ninjas? If you want to mix in a little gymkata, I don't know if anybody remembers that one.
Oh yeah.
The Olympic gymnast who becomes a ninja. I'm fine with that. But American Ninja, bring it back home. And to get rid of, I want the DC, all of the DC universe gone. I want it gone. I want it scrapped. I want it put in a pile and fucking burned. I want the whoever wrote the writers, the dialogue, I want them murdered in front of their family. I need closure, okay? I just need closure.
Even Wonder Woman, Aaron?
I have, and I think it's okay, but I don't. Look,
that third act is a little.
Yeah.
Here's my problem with
Wonder Woman. They're big bad villains. Oh, God.
It's always the writing. Now, let me ask you guys a question who have seen Wonder Woman. At what point did you think there might be something up with her parentage? Was it the first time they said it or the 80th time they said it? We can never tell her about her father.
35th time.
Like, I just hate watching a movie and being like, I'm not a fucking moron. So like, did you know that no man had ever crossed that field? But no man has ever done it. No man. So like, I just got to do without this awful, terrible, trite writing. It's just awful. It's done. It's gone.
So under your bring it back, are you including, now you have a ninja theme. Are you including Surf Ninjas, the great Tone Loke video?
I'm on board with bringing back all the ninjas.
Three ninjas.
Three ninjas.
Yeah.
Bring back Hulk Hogan, High Mountain, Tom. That nonsense was.
Yeah, I'm bringing back Rocky. I'm bringing back Van Damme fighting in a pool in Lionheart. I'm certainly bringing back Chong Li.
Tong Po.
Yeah, I'm bringing them all back. So it's just a lot of ninjas and a lot less Marthas.
You know, they. I don't know what's going on with it, but they need to do, instead of bringing like doing a straight G.I. Joe movie, they got to do like a Storm Shadow Snake Eyes origin story.
Yes.
That would be like the ultimate cool ninja movie. I'm sorry.
Why can't they just
make G.I. Joe with the G.I. Joes in their goddamn uniforms. Like, that's all we want. That's what made it special. I want Gung-Ho in a vest and no shirt. I want Shipwreck wearing straight pants and a sailor
hat. With
the
pirate.
Yeah, I want a pirate and a parrot. I want it all.
Parrot, got to have the parrot.
I want barbecue. I want all these people. I want Junkyard and Mutt and Junkyard.
Yeah, and Law and
Order. Slaughter's still around. He's kicking.
Yeah, you can dig him out. Okay, better do it soon before he dies.
Yeah, I know.
I want Serpentor. Like, I want it.
Destro.
Yeah, just put them in. Put them in their costumes. What? Why is this hard?
I don't know if you heard what I was telling everybody. I know I keep pimping, looking forward, looking back. But yeah, there's apparently this like big shared universe of Hasbro. That's,
yes,
apparently they have a brain trust. Transformers, G.I. Joe, Mask, and I think Micro Machines.
I loved Mask.
I love Mask too.
Mighty power that can save the day.
I just want the briefcase. Computer, show me the agents for this mission. And that cool, like, you know, synchronized 80s voice there.
Not to be confused with the Rocky Dennis mask, of course.
I was wondering which of us was going to make the joke for.
Which is the franchise I want revived.
Jesus.
There's so many unanswered questions in that movie. Anyway, Tim.
He had a twin. Okay, so... Andy, I hate to say this, but my go away forever is actually Pirates of the Caribbean. And not because I hate it. I actually, on the contrary, I think because those are actually, I mean, five movies deep, pretty decent movies. And we're just sort of to the point where we can move on. Like, yeah. Johnny Depp has been made to go away, and I don't know what that franchise has to offer without a Captain Jack Sparrow. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of content with leaving these things as kind of those fun early 2000s action adventure artifacts that they kind of started as. They, let's be fair, Disney got way, way, way more bank and mileage out of this concept than I think anybody reasonably could have expected. You know, didn't everyone pretty much have it pegged as a flop back in 2003?
Well, yeah, Haunted Mansion came out first, right? Did it with Eddie Murphy? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know what came out first, but that was pretty bad.
It was horrible. Oh,
I mean, it was like, okay, this is going to be a surefire flop of the summer, and it made all this money, and we're like, okay, it was pretty good, and we're going to make more of these, and now we can leave it where it is. So okay. That's my go away forever. My revitalize. I'm leaning kind of heavily on the term revitalize here because it's something that is hanging in there, but I feel like is running on fumes and sort of a moot point now anyway, but it's the X-Men franchise. Kind of crazy to think, right, that for all intents and purposes, Deadpool is carrying the X-Men just as a movie series. When you look at that main line, it's pretty rough. I mean, they've lost kind of their major star draws. They haven't offered up any new ones. And it's ironically, this was something funny to me, the fact that their plot lines have become just as convoluted as the comics that they really pull from.
Yeah.
And like the best trick they have up their sleeve now is apparently remaking X-Men: The Last Stand. I don't like this. I don't want to see any more of this. I'm over it. I was over it for pretty much the better part of a decade. I'm at the place with X-Men movies where I was with Spider-Man, like circa 2014. Just I'm exhausted. I am demoralized. I'm beaten down by this parade of mediocre and just shit movies, and I have zero interest in seeing another. So I just think it needs a rest. It's not that the franchise is actively toxic, but it definitely needs a coat of paint. It needs a shot in the arm, various other metaphors, and bring it back. It can be done right. Let's just take a breather.
Yeah, I think it's probably Disney's plan because they'll let these whatever's in development, whatever's shot, come out. And then, you know, we're not going to see X-Men in the MCU probably for another, like, 3 or 4 years.
That's the thing. Like, I hope they have the discipline to let it just kind of marinate for a minute, you know? Because I want to actually feel excited. I want to look forward to an X-Men movie again. And even if they made a good X-Men movie, like the instant they got the rights and they could do it, I'd be like, okay, that was good, but I'm still in that place where I'm a little bit over X-Men.
Yeah.
Now, hold on, Tim. I agree that Apocalypse was terrible, but did you not like Days of Future Past and First Class?
They're okay.
The best part about Days of Future Past at Redcon Last Stand.
I love Days of Future Past. It's probably my favorite of the X-Men films.
It didn't really do much for me.
I mean, yeah, it was better than some of the others. Apocalypse was just so fucking long and just drag.
The only good thing in Apocalypse was that Quicksilver scene.
Yeah. Quicksilver's
one. Yeah, those are the only worthwhile things in those movies now.
Yeah.
If they're going to keep doing those, all right.
Cool. Jason, what's up?
So, I'm killing as fast as possible. Can we stop with this Michael Bay Transformers films? Can we just stop with
that? Well, I don't think he's involved in Bumblebee. I think he might be a producer somewhere on paper.
I'm counting Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, yeah. Those need to die.
Being a quote-unquote Texan. Does anyone really believe Mark Wahlberg is a Texan?
Does anybody really believe he's an inventor?
Oh, that either. I was done, I think, after the third one. I liked the first one. The second one was really bad. Third one was okay. But once Mark Wahlberg took over, and I like Mark Wahlberg, but these movies are so bad. I tried watching, what was the Extinction one?
Was it you mean the last one or the last
the
night?
The fifth one. The fifth one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so bad. It was terrible. I couldn't even stomach watching it on demand.
Yeah, I'm still paying for that after dragging my girlfriend Ellen to that. I had to go see Mamma Mia 2 in a theater, and I think I still have one more that I don't know what it is yet, but
what did they sing? What did they sing in Mamma Mia 2?
I mean, I don't know, really. I mean, 5 minutes into the movie, I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? I did say that out loud.
Did they sing the Fozzy version of the ABBA song that they covered?
No, I remember they sang Waterloo and Fernando, and somehow Cher shows up, and Andy Garcia's this old guy. It turns out to be, you know, what's-her-face's grandfather. I don't know. It was you know, the plot was probably worse than an X-Men movie. I don't know.
That's debatable now.
I turned to Ellen and I'm like, I didn't see the first Mamma Mia. Am I going to be lost? She's like, I think you'll be okay. I'm like, good, good. I was worried. I was really concerned
and,
here.
And speaking of Cher, she was in the first mutant movie, Mask.
Oh, my God. All right. Now, as far as bringing something back, this is a personal favorite of mine. I may not. No one else may care. But I'd like to see them retry Tron again. I love Tron. I love that universe. I thought Legacy was not a great movie, but it looked awesome. Did anyone else see Tron Legacy?
No, I didn't see it. No.
No, but heard good things about it.
It is
fairly well received.
Beautiful. It is beautiful. It was the first movie I saw at IMAX, and I was blown away. The music, the sound, everything about it was great. They had Tron 3 all lined up, ready to go. They're even bringing the Tron roller coaster to Walt Disney World. But then Tomorrowland, does anyone remember this movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see it, but I know it.
Tomorrowland, you basically watch it for the World's Fair and then shut it off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really...
So Tomorrowland came out. So here's this timeline. Tron 3 announced. All right?
Yeah.
2 weeks later, Tomorrowland comes out. Fucking no one sees it. It bombs. And 1 week later after that, Tron 3 canceled.
Well, I mean, Tomorrowland, I think that's kind of getting like a little bit of an underground cult following these days. But yeah, the beginning of that movie was so beautiful with the World's Fair, and it was a good, you know, period piece. And then I don't even understand what the fuck was going on the rest of the movie. They got get in a bathtub, end up at the Eiffel Tower, and Keegan-Michael Key's like a robot or something. I don't fucking know.
Out of spite, I refuse to watch it. But I do recommend you guys at least check out Tron 3. Again, not the best movie, but it's visually awesome. And Jeff Bridges is fucking Jeff Bridges.
I saw bits and pieces of the original as a kid, but I haven't revisited it. Definitely something.
Yeah, it's go ahead.
I was going to say, I once, out of spite, never watch the game with Michael Douglas for like 20 years. this guy just kept going on and on about how good it was, and I'm like, Jesus. I never was. And then I was on a plane, and I watched it. Really good. Really good movie.
I know what that happens.
So yeah, Tron, it's beautiful. The sound, the all the music's done by Daft Punk. It's really worth checking out.
I think they had a Tron video game for one of the systems. Jordan.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, what system was it for?
Like the PS3, Xbox 360.
Ooh, I did not have that.
Oh, I thought
Tron Evolution. I think it was.
No, I'm talking about like the original Tron movie.
Oh, no, I think it was just an arcade.
Oh, okay, that was one of those. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So speaking of franchises, now Disney, you know, they're shooting a Jungle Cruise right now with The Rock. So our next question is, at the moment, and looking ahead at their projects in development, who is a more reliable star to deliver a good, fun movie? Tom Cruise or The Rock? Now, I'm going to give my little spiel, and then I'll open it up to the panel tonight. So, you know, I love The Rock, but the guy's got to say no once in a while. Sure. I mean, I sat through Rampage. I sat through Skyscraper. Horrible movies. And he's also got to get some variety going, you know, because you could probably show a clip of Rampage, a clip of Welcome to Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and a clip of the Jungle Cruise, and you probably wouldn't even know which movie it was from. So he's got to really, you know, pick and choose a little better. And he's also getting very oversaturated. Now, Tom Cruise, on the other hand, you know, with the exception of The Mummy, all of his last few movies have been a lot of fun. The Mission Impossible franchise just keeps getting better and better. American Made was okay. And friggin', what was that movie with Emily Blunt where he keeps dying over and over?
I always get that confused with the other one.
Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow was such a fun movie. Oblivion was good, too. Not as good as Edge of Tomorrow.
That's the one I get it confused with.
Yeah. But, I mean, in my opinion, you know, as much as I love The Rock, I'll go see a Rock, anything The Rock's in, pretty much. But, you know, Tom Cruise, you know, is really, you know, still putting my butt in the seat. So, Aaron, what do you say, The Rock or Tom Cruise?
Neither. Like, I mean, look.
You want a third option, John Cena?
But John Cena sucks. John Cena probably. Like, if I had to pick, look, no, I mean, what you guys said about The Rock being repetitive is true, but I think I'd have to give it to him because, like, there's just so much more in development, and Cruise has got Maverick and probably another Mission Impossible in the tank, and those are good, but The Rock is pretty reliable, and I saw Jumanji with my kids, and I liked it. I'm only my 7-year-old. I didn't bring my 3-year-old. I don't know. Like, I guess The Rock at this point. But honestly, like, both of them right now are just all about sequels. And I'm just burnt out on sequels. Sure. Like, I would like something new. Like, I remember when Tom Cruise did Collateral, mid-2000s.
Yeah,
I thought that was such
a cool movie.
Cool film. Like, mm-hmm. And I would like The Rock to branch out and do something like that. Instead of being, like, the franchise revitalizer. Like, how about just do a movie? Like where you're a protagonist who has a goal that he wants to achieve.
Jordan.
I'm kind of with Aaron in the sense that I don't think either of them are really a surefire, oh, this movie's going to be good. But I do go with The Rock too, and here's why. I think Rock has some good action movies out there, although they kind of all blend together. I don't know that Tom Cruise could be in a successful comedy in 2018-2019. I just don't know. Whereas, like, I thought Jumanji was a pretty good, funny movie. They were hilarious. But I guess I'm just thinking, you know, the question is, you know, who's more reliable to deliver? And I think Rock has more potential, I guess.
Yeah.
But I agree. You know, like, he's he could say no to a movie pitch. You know, I mean, like, I feel like anything that's presented to him, he greenlights and he signs up for. And he would be much better off if he picked and chose his projects a little bit better, because he does have some good movies, but he's got so freaking many of them.
Yeah,
that it's kind of like finding the good ones. Whereas, you know, Cruise might be more selective with what he has, and you know, the Mission Impossible, I haven't seen the most recent one, but it looks so cool that I rewatched all the old ones. I'm on three now in my rewatch again. But I just think, in terms of, if you say to me, hey, let's go see a Tom Cruise movie, let's go see a Rock movie, my gut just tells me I'd probably go see the Rock movie.
Yeah, I see that. I tell you though, if you ever go to visit the Fast and Furious franchise, you got to start with The Rock when he comes in as Hobbs. I mean, he's just got some.
Well, that's kind of why he does all these sequels, is because they kind of have given him the title of, like, the franchise, you know.
Saver.
He brings them back to life. Yeah, he saves these dying franchises, which I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing or not.
I mean, the guy has a cast on his arm, and he flexes, and it pops off. I mean, how cool is that? He's like, somebody goes, you better call in the Calvary. Woman. I am the Calvary. Bam! Ooh, I'm the Rock. You know, it's a lot of fun. If you go see those movies, just say physics don't matter in this world. The laws of physics out the door, and you'll be okay. So, all right, Tim, on to you, buddy.
Yeah, like Aaron, my real answer is neither. But for the sake of answering the question, I
appreciate you humoring me.
Look, with The Rock, I adore everything about the guy, with the exception of his movies. It's just so hit and miss. I mean, he just does not seem to pick great scripts most of the time. So, loath as I am to admit it, because I despise pretty much everything about Tom Cruise, with the exception of his movies, I do think he is the more dependable star when it comes to something that will be good and appeal to me and that I can just sit down and purely enjoy. So while I do want to see that kind of 90s, like, where's Vanilla Sky Tom Cruise? Where's Eyes Wide Shut Tom Cruise? Not that those are necessarily the greatest films, but they do show more range, right? So yeah. I would like to see that Tom Cruise again, but even barring that, if he's just going to be the action vehicle guy, I guess I'll still take him over The Rock.
He kind of gets a bum rap a lot of the time, but like for a very long time, he just made the best. He has the opposite problem with The Rock, is he just made amazing choices in the films he chose for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Like Minority Report, Edge of Tomorrow, even his part in Magnolia is great. Like he was very, like, you could shit on him for being one dimensional a bit, but his movies were always good.
I know. Yeah. Even if he wasn't the best thing about them, no, he was in good movies.
Yeah. Except for The Mummy. That was awful.
Well,
that was bad. It was like Universal just like put way, they were like overly confident. I mean, you go to, I don't know if any of you guys saw it, but when it comes in, you know, now it's all about the cinematic universes. And literally, you see the Universal logo, and then it goes around and comes out black and white, and it says Dark Universe.
Look, it was nice to see Russell Crowe trying.
Yeah.
Like in that film.
Yeah, that concept seemed a little ill-conceived. I'm not sure how much thought they really put into
it. Yeah, and they had some interesting casting choices that were for that universe. I mean, I think Angelina Jolie was supposed to be Bride of Frankenstein. What's his face? There Will Be Blood. What the hell is his name?
Daniel Day-Lewis?
No. The other guy.
Eli?
No, the other guy, the bad guy.
Eli?
Daniel Day-Lewis?
The guy who had a milkshake?
I drink your milkshake, sir.
It's called drainage, Eli.
whatever the fuck his name was. He's Frankenstein. And Johnny Depp was supposed to be the Invisible Man, I think.
Well, wait, hold on. In your mind, who's the bad guy in There Will Be Blood? Right.
Which I've never seen that movie, though. Isn't the guy who's the killer, isn't it? Or am I thinking of the other movie?
It's a whole other movie.
Yeah.
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem, that's who I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Oh, it's not even a Daniel Day-Lewis movie. You're talking about Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, what the hell was the movie that came out then around the same time? Yeah, No Country for Old Men. That's what I'm thinking of. I haven't seen either movie. They're on my shame list. I apologize. Hey, I just come up with the questions. I don't do any research.
Do I tell you I'm an oil man? I'm an oil man.
All right, so Jason, right? You still have to go on this question?
Yeah, if I had to pick between the two, I really don't want to choose either of them.
That's not the game.
I would have to pick The Rock. None of Tom Cruise's movies outside of the Mission Impossible ones interest me at all. The Mission Impossible movies are really good, at least the ones I've seen of them. I think the last one I saw was Ghost Protocol. How many ago was that?
10.
That one was really good. And I really did want to see this one this year. I just haven't got around to it. Yeah, as far as The Rock goes, I haven't seen anything he's done recently. I think the last movie I saw he did was fucking Baywatch.
Oh, that was horrible.
that movie disappointed me so much. It literally is shot like down the street from me.
Why did you have expectations to begin with?
I really like Zac Efron. He's likable in almost everything I've seen him in. Him with The Rock, I thought I was expecting a lot more than I got. Do you guys not like Zac Efron
as a human?
As an actor.
He was kind of a dick when he didn't pick up the check the other day, but come on.
I'm really pulling for him to overcome his devastatingly handsome good looks and really get the break he deserves.
Come on, both the Neighbors movies were awesome.
Those were pretty funny.
17 Again was great. And if you guys haven't seen it.
The funniest part of 17 Again was that apparently Zac Efron grows up to be Matthew Perry. And we're supposed to think he has no reason to be bitter for that.
Yeah, if you track that fair one, enough. I'm not so sure that's it's going to bear out.
The movie was, I did like the movie, but
it's really.
Could you just imagine though, Zac Efron, sitting there as Asia comes in, I got this great movie for you. You're going to play, the younger version of somebody who goes, who has a body, switching thing. And who am I switching bodies with, or who I play the younger version of? Matthew Perry. Are you fucking kidding me?
Chandler from Friends.
We don't know his name.
He's like, we're paying you this much. Oh, okay. As long as it wasn't David Schwimmer, I'm cool.
But yeah, like what you guys said about The Mummy, I didn't want to see it. I've heard nothing but terrible, terrible things about it. And I know Universal is really trying to push that dark universe. They should have stopped after their first attempt.
Did they stop?
I think it's still the second one.
What was the first?
Dracula Unborn or Untold or whatever.
Wasn't the Wolfman supposed to be something too?
Yeah, they were supposed to be. They were supposed to bring back all the classic horror, monsters.
Yeah, I don't know if that one was involved, but I know the Dracula Untold one was supposed to be like the beginning of it.
Is that the one with Leslie Nielsen as Dracula?
Dracula Dead loving it.
Dracula Dead loving it.
We can only wish.
That was like one of the worst Mel Brooks movies, and Mel Brooks is one of my heroes. But that sucked, that movie.
You know what would be a good shared universe?
Wait, hold on. Wasn't there one with Eddie Murphy where he played Dracula?
Yes, Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yes.
You know what would be a good shared universe? It would be like Naked Gun
Academy?
Hot Shots. Like, those movies need to exist together.
Yep. I think Police Academy files under that, too.
They should bring back Police Academy.
Yes.
Why did no one bring that up earlier?
I don't know. I'm all for it. Bring back Police Academy. Bring back Short Circuit.
You just want Gutenberg just back in your life.
Yeah, just bring back Steve Gutenberg, and I'd be okay.
Somebody needs to hand him, like, a Quentin Tarantino script.
Exactly.
The stone cutters don't let him take roles anymore.
Steve Gutenberg, a star.
The Steve Gutenberg shared cinematic universe.
I call it the SGU.
Oh, man. All right, our final question.
The Gutenberg category. Universe.
Final.
Well, we still have something else that you guys are going to do. But, per the you know, the synopsis or syllabus, whatever the hell I gave you format. We're going to talk about guilty pleasures. All right, you know, I want a song that comes on the radio that you cannot resist the urge to start belting out and singing along. Now, for me, my kids are, you know, I have a teenager and almost teenager, so one of my true pleasures in life is embarrassing them with, like, Sirius XM 80s on 8 or 90s on 9 as I'm driving them somewhere that somebody they may know is going to see them. But I'm going to actually go with two songs because it's my show. First one is Ironic by Alanis Morissette. And the reason being, my son and I sometimes will watch, you know, I tape Fallon and stuff, and we just watch the skits. And they did this skit with Justin Timberlake where they were at camp and they were singing Ironic.
Oh, yep.
And my son loved that sketch. And literally the next day we're in the car, came on the radio, and without like talking, we both just started singing the dance song. So every time Ironic comes on, the two of us belt it out, even if he's not in the car. And I really didn't like that song much when it came out.
What is it with people, Alanis Morissette songs, and dad stuff?
You have dad feelings about Alanis Morissette songs? Sounds like. Let's examine that, Andy.
I'm a little sad now. I'm a little verklempt. And my other one, it being a, you know, Christmas music has just, you know, come back even a little fucking early. But and she should be doing God knows what to whoever told her to do this. But Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. That if I'm in the Christmas spirit and that comes on in the car, I am belting that fucking song. I'm sorry.
No guilt there, man. That song is amazing.
I mean, she's probably made more money off that one song than any other thing she's ever done in her career.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's the only Christmas song that's written, like, after 1920.
That's true. That's true. Actually, one of my favorite Christmas songs, you got to seek it out. It was the Crazy Drunk Lady singing the 12 Days of Christmas. You just Google it and look for it, and it's friggin' hysterical. So, Aaron, what's your guilty pleasure song?
You gotta help me out. It's all a blur last night. Anybody know that one?
Nope.
We need a taxi. I'm gonna sing it till you guys know it. Cause you
Jesus.
No, it's Katy Perry's Waking Up in Vegas. I don't know why.
I've seen Katy Perry in concert 3 times. I had no idea what that was.
What are you saying about my singing, you son of a bitch?
And what are you saying about your concert-going choices?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Listen.
I mean, I can understand seeing Katy Perry once, but did you see her 3 times on, like, the same tour?
No.
Look, if you
come
travel,
on
if
now.
You travel around with her for her tour and you're not banging her, there's a problem somewhere.
3 separate times, 3 separate tours.
I've seen Matthew Perry in concert.
Did Zac Efron open for him?
Yep.
And then you left.
Yep.
Anyway, Katy Perry, that's me. I love her.
Okay. All right, Jason, you're up.
Well, actually, my answer is because of Tron Legacy. The song is played in the movie, and ever since I saw it in that movie, every time I hear it, I've even like fallen into a deep web of watching YouTube cover versions of this music video being shot by random people. It's a Separate Ways by Journey.
Oh, yes. No shame.
Without fail, every single time that song comes on, I can't help it.
I love that song.
Also, anything by Duran Duran, anytime I hear that on the radio.
Yeah.
But yeah, that Journey song, without fail, anytime it comes on, I'll even like, when if I'm at a bar, I'll put it on the jukebox just to hear it.
Have you seen the video of the literal video for that?
No, not that. I've seen the one for the Tears for Fears song.
Yeah, check it out. You'll like it. If you like the song, you'll like it. It's very funny.
Oh, I'm sure I'll love it.
All right, Tim, give it up. What's your guilty pleasure?
The national anthem. No.
Do you stand?
Well, I'm driving, so it's kind of a
Well, they have standing desks. Don't they have standing cars now? Come on.
When are you driving where you hear the national anthem?
So he's driving through the baseball field.
So I'm going to go. Yes, because I've had a stroke. So I'm going to go with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga's duet Shallow.
Oh.
I'm kind of kidding, but not really, because I do like the song. I just don't totally know the words yet, so I can't entirely sing to it, but I'd like to.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Hmm. If you've seen the movie, you...
I have not, so okay. Not yet.
It's kind of like the centerpiece song of the movie.
Got it.
Yeah, I don't want to top Aaron's rendition of his song, so I'm not going to sing it because I don't know the words either. All right. Who's Jordan, you're the only one left, right?
Yeah. So I went with Guilty Pleasure because, like, I thought of, like, Journey song stuff. I have no guilt in singing Journey or, like, Bon Jovi songs.
Say Bon Jovi. So
I went with Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen. So
that's a Canadian girl.
Yeah, because I threw a wish in a well. Don't ask me. I'll never tell. But it's a good song. You know, anytime I hear it, I will listen to it, and I won't change the station, or I'll let it play out, and I will sing with it. So,
yeah, song. I mean, those poppy songs, I mean, like, yeah. The other night I'm in the car, and friggin' Party in the USA came on.
And I'm that's another good one.
I was like, hands up, playing my song, Butterflies Fly Away. And my dog was in the backseat like, what's going on there? What are you doing to me?
So cool. Have you guys seen that Carly Rae Jepsen video that had Tom Hanks in it?
No.
Oh, look it up. It's awesome.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's great.
The video I think of for this song, for Call Me Maybe, is there's
so
a guy
good.
Who did, like, Chat Roulette, which is just random in chats, and he's, like, dressed in, like, a bikini, and he's, like, got a full beard and stuff, and he's just singing and parading around to it, and it's everyone's reactions. It's a great video, too.
All right, cool. Anybody else got any other Guilty Pleasure songs they want to throw out there?
Open the door, get on the floor, everybody the dinosaur.
Boom, boom, chaka-chaka-da, boom, little was not was.
The only other one, and I don't know the name, I can't think of the name of it, is Straight from Tommy Boy. Don't you remember you told me you love me, baby?
Oh, my God.
You know, it's funny. My kids get, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy movies have bring back so many great songs that you may have forgotten about. And, like, you know, now my kids, like, are one to get into them. Whenever you hear, like, Rubber Band Man, even though that was Avengers, but Come and Get Your Love. That's, like, one of the most fun opening sequences of credits is the first Guardians movie. And, yeah, my kids get me singing that stuff all the time.
Also, the Aha take on me in Deadpool 2. That was a good the acoustic version I'm talking about.
There's a thing I've seen on Facebook. It's a video of a guy dressed up as Spider-Man in a GameStop dancing to – doing all these, like, crazy, like, almost like Fortnite-type dances to Aha's Take on Me. I'm just like, what is this shit?
Performance artist, no doubt.
Yeah. Aaron, were you going to say something?
No, I'm sitting here silently.
Okay, silently and just nodding your head going, what's going on? Anyway.
Nodding my head like, yeah. Moving my hips like, yeah.
Put your hands up.
Hips don't lie.
Okay, cool. Well, awesome, guys. So you're not off the hook yet. So this next thing we're going to do to close out this show is what I'm calling our rapid fire round. So this is the part that I hope is going to be really interactive. Once I get the Facebook page, you know, these are all going to go up there and we're going to open it up. Hopefully, you know, good conversation, a lot of fun happens. So here we go. There's 10 of them, so I'm just going to, you know, everybody's going to get a chance for each question. I'm just going to go around the room. All right, we're going to start with Aaron for number one. Cheese all doodles, right. Puffed or crunchy?
Crunchy.
You don't have to, like, there's no time limit here.
Those are basically Cheetos, right?
Yeah,
what is crunchy?
Yeah, crunchy or puffed?
I don't know. Like, if I'm inserting them in me, I guess.
What you do on your own time is your business.
What? Sorry, I'm just
a guilty pleasure.
I'm unfamiliar with what these are.
Cheetos, man. The
Cheetos, man.
Or Wise cheese doodles?
Is that what the fucking
Easy Poofs?
The creepy cheetah that.
Now, yes. Hold on. Aren't Flamin' Hot kind of what everybody's into now?
Yeah, apparently they're coming out with a movie based on them.
If it was flaming hot, I wouldn't insert it into me.
Hey, it takes all kinds, man.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Jordan.
Jalapenos.
Jordan, what's your cheese duel of choice?
The puffed ones.
Puffed. Easily. All right, Tim.
Crunchy in a minute.
Yeah. Jason.
Crunchy as well.
All right, cool. All right, second one, we're going to start with Jordan. We're talking about beverages here. We're going to go with those lemon-lime sodas. We're going to go Sprite or 7-Up or Sierra Mist, if you care.
I prefer none, but I thought Sprite if I have to choose.
If you have to, yeah. Tim.
7-Up.
All right. Jason.
Sprite.
Cool. Aaron.
Sprite.
7 Sprite Mist.
Aaron seems to be having a tough time with all this pressure we're putting on.
You have to go last.
Okay. Look, he choked. Just give him a minute.
All right. Okay. All right. We're going to get away from food for a second.
Please.
Oh, that's a shame.
All right. Man. We're going to go with advertising mascots for insurance companies. The Geico Gecko or Flo the Progressive Lady? Or you want to throw in J.K. Simmons from Farmers? Go ahead. So, Tim.
The correct answer is the Geico Caveman, which is actually the show that should be revived.
Yes, that's nice. True. Or the Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer with the late, great Phil Hartman.
Oh, man.
I'm just a caveman.
Caveman, a great, great genre, you know, of entertainment.
Very underutilized.
Yeah.
Jason.
But of the choices presented, I guess Flo.
Okay, Flo. Jason, what do you say?
Can I pick Shaq in those general commercials?
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
He doesn't even pick the general. He picks Shaq.
What can I say? Kazam.
All right, Aaron, are you okay? You ready?
I'm going to go with Vern Schillinger.
Vern Schillinger, what's that from?
J.K. Simmons from Oz.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch Oz.
He's pitching insurance.
I thought that was Mini-Me from the Austin Powers.
You know, for a second, I'm like, Vern Troyer? What's going on?
Got out on parole, and now he's a space.
Jordan, what's your
gosh. What were the actual choices again?
The Geico Gecko, or Flo the Progressive Lady, or J.K. Simmons from Farmers.
Can I pick President David Palmer from Allstate?
There you go. Pedro Serrano. You're going to be in good hands, man. All right, next question. M&M's, plain or peanut? Or other, since there's like everything nowadays seems to have like 1,000 fucking varieties, whether it's M&M's, Oreos, or whatever. So, Jason, what's your preferred M&M of choice?
Peanut.
Aaron?
Plain.
Jordan?
Plain.
Tim?
Peanut.
All right. Split down the middle.
Although I will say the ones with the pretzels inside are pretty good, too.
Yeah, I've never had those.
The crunchy ones aren't bad, too.
I like the crispy ones as well.
Crispy, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, it's like having a Nestle Crunch and an M&M together.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So we're going to go with ladies on TV or on the Big Bang Theory. Penny, Bernadette, or Amy? Aaron.
No. I've never watched. I know it's not true. I've watched 1 minute of the show and was too angry to keep watching. I don't think I got to a woman. The show. I had to pick one of the guys, the one with the curly hair.
You know. Okay. We'll go other. Jordan.
So, the squeaky voiced one. What's her name?
Bernadette. You have to see her in The Bronze. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen that movie. The actress, no. Melissa Rauch. She plays an Olympic gymnast that won a bronze medal, and she's trying to live off of it, basically.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's a comedy, right?
Yeah, it's a really dark comedy. It's funny. Tim.
I am afraid I have no idea who any of these
are. One of them is Blossom.
Yes.
Yes, that's Amy Farrah Fowler.
I'll go with the one that is Blossom.
Smart.
Wait, are the other ones anything that...
Is
that
one of them six?
No. I feel like Penny. Penny does those commercials with William Shatner.
She's Kaylee Cuoco.
Yeah, she does the Priceline commercials.
Okay, I kind of remember her.
She was also in 8 Simple Rules. For Dating My Teenage Daughter, if you remember that, John Ritter.
When John Ritter died, yeah.
And then Bernadette, I mean, Melissa Rauch, I mean, she's been in some stuff besides this.
I'll stick with Blossom.
There you go. Jason.
I'm going with Bernadette as well.
All right, cool. All right, so we're going to go with question six. We're going to go with the little superheroes here, your underwater superheroes. Jordan, Jesus. Aquaman or Submariner?
Aquaman.
Okay. Tim, you're a comics guy.
Well, you see, the best answer is actually if you've read and submitted your pitches from the Place We Nation comics draft, Namor the Submissive. however, seeing as that is a fantasy character of many people's fantasies, I must go with Aquaman, because if I don't, Todd Weber will fire me.
He is my
penis off. Any of you guys excited for that movie?
I think they are. I mean, I am too.
I mean, to go back to Aaron's request to kill the franchise, like, it doesn't look bad, but it's a DC movie, so I feel like it's gonna
be. It will be bad.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it looks bad, but I just don't have any faith in it.
Yeah.
I think the graphics look really kind of not great, but I do think Jason Momoa has a certain kind of charisma about him that I think can carry it.
Yeah, it looks light and campy. So,
have they established yet that his mother's name is Martha?
That should be a given.
Well, we need to get past the history of his parentage first.
They'll let us know 80 times.
Yes.
There's something off with his brother.
That he's like half human, half mer, whatever person.
He is. No land dweller has ever done this.
Jason, what do you say?
Can I pick Aquaman, directed by James Cameron in Entourage?
If you want,
there you go.
That's what I'm going with.
All right, Aaron.
Namor. He's angry and pissed off and has pathos. Namor, 1,000%.
When do you think we might? I know his rights are a little screwy, convoluted, but when do you think we might see him in MCU? Anybody?
Oh God! When you said his rights, I was like, "What? Can you not vote in the?"
He is leading the blue way.
The water people. Well, the water people don't get the vote.
So yeah.
Well, I think he's around forever. I don't know who he belongs to. I would imagine. I always thought he was part of the Fantastic Four bunch, but. He was around way before that, so who knows?
I want to say Universal. Yeah, it's like similar to the deal with the Hulk, where they can't like make a standalone Namor movie, but he could be in other movies.
Yeah, they can't call anything the Hulk. I think
right
under their deal.
Yeah, some screwy distribution arrangement they had with Universal.
All right, you think we'll see him in the next few years?
Yeah, I do. Probably. All
right. Cool.
Sooner than later.
All right, we're going to go with cartoons. Who started the last one? So, Tim, we're going to go with Looney Tunes. Are you a Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck guy?
I guess Daffy.
Yeah, Daffy always had, like, the more fun, I think.
Yeah, he has the better gifts, too.
Yeah. Jason.
With this one, I got to go with Bugs.
Yeah. Sometimes you just want to smack them, though. Yeah. Aaron, sure. What do you say? It's a bunny.
Was Daffy the first duck of color on TV?
Breaking all kinds of barriers.
He's a trendsetter.
Bugs Bunny, though.
Jordan?
I'll go with Daffy because I'm like, Aaron, I'm not a racist.
You pegged me down.
Oh, man. Now, Donald was a white duck. That's pretty obvious.
Yes.
Maybe onto something there.
Yep. Old Donald.
All right, moving on.
Isn't the problem with society all the angry white ducks?
You know.
Scrooge.
On best of all days.
This is a long lightning round, you guys.
Well, we're almost. All right, Tim. We're gonna go with we're gonna go with a big meal. Are you a Thanksgiving dinner or Easter brunch?
Oh, give me both of them. what Easter brunch?
Well, I tried to be different, but Easter dinner, whatever you want to call it.
Easter versus Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the meal, the big meal.
Easter, so, yeah, we don't do Easter, so it'll be Thanksgiving by default.
Okay, well, if you I do allow write-in votes. If somebody wants to say Christmas Eve with the 7-9 fishes, whatever the hell it's called.
Can we do Halloween candy?
No, Jason, we can't.
Oh, come on.
What do you say, Jason? Thanksgiving or Easter?
Thanksgiving.
Aaron?
Thanksgiving. We don't do anything on Easter. You're eating a turkey one and a bunny on the other. It doesn't work.
We don't actually eat bunnies on Easter, but okay.
You eat their eggs. Come on.
You know how hard it is to make an omelet with a Cadbury egg? I swear to God. All right, Jordan.
So, we actually do a traditional Easter ham dinner, but it's Thanksgiving. It's not even close. I didn't even hear what your second choice was at first because I'm muting myself and just coughing. I'm like, I just heard Thanksgiving. I'm like, that's it. It's Thanksgiving.
All right, so we're going to talk a couple of board games. Jason, ooh. Monopoly or Risk?
Monopoly.
Okay. Aaron?
Are we going to talk about good board games after? What's wrong with Monopoly? Monopoly, because I like grinding people into dust.
Yes. I'm a slumlord.
What's wrong with Risk?
No, nothing. It's just, I don't know, there's just better versions.
There's a lot of pieces.
Yeah, too many.
It's like you ever play Mousetrap with your kids? You know,
I play it every day.
It takes like an hour to set up that fucking thing, and then it's like, oh, it's done.
Yeah, and it falls apart. Yeah.
Jordan, what do you say?
Fireball Island. I'll go with Risk.
Oh, dude, that was so awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know if anyone else remembered Fireball Island.
They're bringing it back.
No idea what that is.
There's a Kickstarter for it.
Yeah, The Rock is going to star in it.
Wasn't there a game like The Dark Tower back in the 80s? Like this electronic thing? Was that something like that?
Was it anything like Mall Madness?
No.
Fireball Island was kind of like Temple of Doom, the game.
Oh.
Yeah. With marbles.
Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Well...
Tim, what's your pick?
I would say Monopoly because I enjoy getting frustrated and turning over the table.
It's a great visual.
I just hate playing with people that come up with their own rules and try to make deals. Like, okay, I'm going to give you this Monopoly that's going to fuck everybody playing this game, but you let me pass twice. No, it doesn't work
that way. I usually take out a lot of loans and then get just so way over leveraged and then never finish the game because I turned the game board over.
Teaching the kids today to foreclose on your best friend.
Yeah.
All right.
Wasn't there an episode of Seinfeld where Kramer and Newman were playing Risk and they're like taking down the subway?
The Ukrainian guy gets that guy.
Ukraine is weak.
All right, last one. We're going to talk about a couple of cool cars from television. Aaron, Kit or the Batmobile?
Batmobile. Batman will destroy David Hasselhoff with a pile driver.
What?
That's how he'll defeat him. He'll give him a pile driver. Right. I didn't think I needed to explain that. It seems pretty self-evident.
All right, Jordan.
So I know it's lightning round, but I've thought this out already.
Literally, I asked the question like 10 seconds ago.
The Batmobile was driven by Adam West, who I believe is dead. And
yes.
Kit is voiced by Mr. Feeny, who is alive and beating burglars up.
Yes!
So
yes.
I'll go with Kit.
Cool. Tim.
You know, there's been so many iterations of the Batmobile, but they're all just, pile driving fiends that are going to crush Kit.
Pile so driving.
I will go with the Batmobile. It'll be on brand for me.
All right. And Jason.
This isn't even a question, Kit. Move along.
Okay. Well, that ends the rapid fire round. Thank you guys for participating, humoring me. All right. Well, that's going to pretty much bring us to the end of episode one of Great Debate. Thank you, guys. Good time. Let's go around the horn, see if there's anything you guys want to promote coming up, any podcasts, anything going on the site. Aaron, you got anything coming up?
Yeah. at some point there will be another No Holds Barred. We're trying to work that out. Check out the network adventure every 2 weeks. Scramble to get it together the day before. I'm sure there'll be a Christmas play that everyone will
be confused by. It.
Exactly. So anyway, lots of stuff coming down the pipe. PlaceToBeNation.com.
Yep.
Jordan.
Yeah, Aaron and I will be debuting our Saved by the Bell podcast next week.
I'm so disappointed about this.
I don't know. I'll say next week, and then when it doesn't come out, I'll say, well, we taped this at a previous time. So. Scheduling conflicts.
Tim, what do you got coming up?
Funny enough, that's exactly how Survey Says works, which you can find an episode of coming out later this month in November. We will have a November episode. I don't know exactly when, but it has been recorded, so there's that. The aforementioned Place to Be Nation Fantasy Comics Draft. If you haven't voted yet, I'm sorry it's too late. We will have the results unveiled on Place to Be Nation Pop. Special podcast coming to you soon. Will it be this week? Will it be the following week? Stay tuned. And I was lucky enough to join the brass, JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo, for the 8th annual Halloween Spooktacular, where we were with my cohort from Talkin' Pop, Jennifer Smith, did a live watch and commentary of the 2000 classic Ready to Rumble.
That was brilliant.
Ooh, what a good Halloween movie.
Isn't it, though? It's so scary.
Well, yeah, it is scary. Yeah.
So you can find that on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. On Halloween.
Very cool. Jason, you got anything coming up?
Nah, I got nothing.
All right. So I got, I have a Looking Forward, Looking Back, number one, that's up. The second episode should be up, working on it now. That should come up by the end of the year. No, I got something in the works. Now I'll be debuting a third show. Not going to give too much away, but it was inspired by a segment on the Place to Be Nation podcast with Scott and Justin. So stay tuned for that. I got a good crew.
Wrestling trivia. I can't wait.
No, it's going to be on the pop feed. You guys are all probably too young to participate.
Whoa.
Yeah, we're going to take a little trip back in time, so to speak.
How far back in time are we talking?
46 years.
And whose body will you be inside?
Zac Efron's.
That depends on how the night goes.
Oh. Hey now. So yeah, look for that coming up soon. Other than that, we have I created an email account for this this podcast. So if you have any questions, comments, you want something talked about on a future show, go to thegreatdebatepop@gmail.com. Like I said, the Facebook page is coming. And just keep going to the site. A lot of fun content there. Click on the Amazon link to help us out a little bit. And so I just want to say thank you to Aaron, to Jordan, to Tim, and to Jason. Thank you for joining me on the first episode of Great Debate. Hope you guys had a good time. I had a ball talking to you guys, and hope to talk to you all again soon on some other shows. So that's it for us tonight, and good night.